Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the By Yahweh's Design Conference Call for the 17th day of February, year 2019. I am Commander Dan, your host and chairman for this meeting of the House of Jacob Israel. The agenda for today's call is Nowhere to Run, the Q Effect, Real or Not, and then followed by an open mic session. We dedicate this call to our Heavenly Father Yahweh, who is the great I Am. We also dedicate this call to His holy remnant, who are the believing sons and daughters of Jacob, who was later named Israel. Today, these people are known as the Caucasian, or the true Israelite peoples of the world. Hallelujah, which means all praise Yahweh in ancient or Paleo-Hebrew. To my Welsh kinsmen, Shumai, and welcome to the program. Kumru Ambith. We will take calls eventually, and we ask that you be mindful of the audience and also keep comments and or questions as short as possible so that others can participate. And also a reminder that we are in the question and answer mode. Our website is www.pastordan.net. There's been a lot of trouble with sending out bulk email lately. The censorship of the major platforms, if they determine that you're sending out stuff that they don't want you to get out there, they come up with all kinds of violations of terms of service, or you've been identified as spam. Even though the recipients didn't do that, the platform itself, for instance, Gmail or Yahoo or whoever, just takes it upon themselves to flag you that way. And because of that, you can go to PastorDan.net pretty much on a daily basis, and I will have the latest mail put there on the daily mail page of things that I think you might be interested in seeing. It's usually a polyglot or a mix. It's not always just news as far as politics. There's health things on that page as well as non-political stuff. And then, of course, there are pages dedicated to things such as research into identity, coming up to speed on what the Bible really says, health issues, South Africa, links to many other sites for information, recommended YouTube channels, and of course archives of past programs. So all that's on PastorDan.net. And the reason, again, I say that is because email is being suppressed in some ways, and therefore if you're not hearing from me, just go to that website. I'll put announcements there if it applies, and also put any kind of interesting mail. Do want to remind you that the upcoming 23rd of this month, which is next Saturday, is the day of mourning over the abortion issue and the absolutely unbelievable statements by people as high as governors, Virginia and New York particularly, but it's also other states involved in this, legitimatizing the murdering of children, literally murdering children, born alive. Now, there was a day when somebody as high up as a governor would say that, there would be a mob outside his mansion demanding that he be arrested and charged with advocating murder. But we don't seem to have any kind of chutzpah or male testosterone left in the population to rise up to do things like that. We've been mentally castrated to where we, the people, seem to think that the government is all-powerful. We've turned it into a god. It now has a life of its own. It's fighting for its own life right at this time because there is an awakening going on. And just as the Bible describes all governments as beasts, this beast of this age is huge. It covers the entire earth, has vast amounts of wealth and material, and has death grip control over virtually every nation on earth. So this beast is the biggest, baddest one yet. However, that doesn't mean it's going to win. It also doesn't mean that it can't be fought against, because Scripture tells us that one with Yahweh is a majority. And if Yahweh be with us, who can be against us? Even though the general population is saying what the Scripture says, who can war with the beast? Because when you look at the beast from man's point of view, it is indefeatable, or undefeatable, I should say. Because of the vastness of the wealth, even though it's fictitious, most of it's in computers and on spreadsheets, it's not real wealth. Because anybody that's ever studied anything should know that the wealth of a nation is its people and the resources. The New World Order, these elitists or these cabalists at the top, don't really own anything, folks. It's a mental construct, okay? They have convinced you that government owns everything unless they give you permission to own it yourself. And that's only temporarily, because if you run afoul of the tax code, you'll find out you don't own a damn thing, ever. So this beast is grasping for everything right now. This is the move. You can call it Zionism. You can call it communism. It's synonymous. Bolshevism is another term, synonymous. If you read the 10 planks of the Communist Manifesto, you'll see that they're all in play in every white nation on earth. And why are the white nations the important ones? Because the white nations are the only ones who stand a chance to stop the beast. That's why the focus is on white nations, because we are the Israel of the Bible. Makes perfect sense. If you're the enemy and you know there's a gigantic struggle taking place, you're going to focus all of your attention at destroying who poses the greatest threat to your world domination, and that's the white race. What's left of it, anyway. Because we're the Adamites, and we're the people that were put here to maintain order on this earth, and we're not doing it. We've acquiesced. We're sitting on the pews and sitting on the bleachers, being mindlessly entertained by all sorts of materialistic things of this world, which the whore of Babylon is glad to give to you, so that our people are drunk. They're drunk on all the entertainment, the flat screens, the sports, the glitzy shows like the Grammy Awards and all these different shows that they parade out all these trannies and all these homosexuals and misfits as if that's something to be admired. But it works for a lot of people that don't have any kind of integrity or character. Weak-minded people. It reminds me of the Star Wars series when the Jedi would go up against another creature and try their mind control on them because they were superior. You get that? The Empire, quote, is superior. And so they would take mental control of the issues, and today they do it through television, movies, programming, fake news, etc., etc., etc. And for the most part, it works. The vast majority of people are completely out of it, really. They've lost the idea of thinking for themselves. They don't even know how to do it. They don't know how to ask critical questions. They don't know how to investigate anything. They don't know how to look through a matter and go down rabbit holes to find out answers. You know, it was interesting. One of the better reporters out there right now is Lee Stranahan. And he reports factually, and he'll report the truth about Israel, even though he doesn't go to the extent of the biblical connections yet. But if they're out of line, he says it. He doesn't apologize for them like so many of these cucks do. But it was interesting. He just put out a video talking about something big is about ready to break loose. All indicators are saying that. And he was checking into the connections with Fox News. Now, we were led to believe Fox News was on our side, and if you want anything even close to fair reporting, you have to go to Fox News. And people like me have been telling people for years, be careful. Fox News is a Trojan horse because of Rupert Murdoch, who's a Jew, owns Fox News, and he's part of the cabal. Well, Lee Stranahan was looking into this energy corporation with ties. Come to find out, Dan Bongino is a Fox News apologist, so you got to be careful with whatever he's saying. But he was thinking about all this, and he heard a voice tell him to dig deeper. And it was interesting because he said, and he didn't use it as a platform to try to evangelize people. In his own words, he said, I'm just telling you what happened. You can take it for whatever you believe it's worth. But I had a voice, clear as a bell, tell me to dig further. And when I did dig further, I started uncovering a lot of these connections. So it's kind of interesting in the respect of we're told by scriptures that just prior to the second coming, that our Father would pour out his Spirit on all flesh. Now, we don't know if that all flesh is just the Israelites, or is it even non-Israelites, so that his will and his plan can come to fruition. Just a point of thought there, okay? So it was interesting that he is coming out with all this information here lately, and even Colonel Potter and some of the other ones, no matter what you think of them, folks, these individuals are making an attempt to get truth out to us. And they can only do that as well as their sources. No different than when I come to you with what I have gleaned over my many years of research, interviews, biblical text reading, word searches through the Hebrew, Greek, things like that. Okay, that's a culmination of many, many thousands of hours of digging and going down rabbit holes. But again, it's only as good as my work is and as the material that I'm working with. Now, the Holy Spirit does attestify to the truth, as the scripture says. And those with the Holy Spirit, that's a second witness. So it was just kind of interesting that somebody that's out in front as a major reporter behind the scenes, I guess he works for RT, which is Russia Today, RT. Or is it, what is their publication called? I can't think of it, the Russian word for it. Maybe Jimmy, if he's listening or remembers it, I think it starts with an S. But anyway, one of the publications out of Russia pays for it. He's housed right there in Washington, D.C. And he was even talking about the same thing that we've talked about for so many years, that Washington is literally a cesspool, literally a disgusting cesspool. Criminals everywhere you turn. So, you know, we've been talking here lately about the Q, whether it's real or not, the Q effect. And what Q has become is a movement, just like the Gilets Jaunes in French, the Yellow Vests in France has become a movement, whether it was started legitimately by somebody trying to make the world a better place or not. That's not the point. The point is, what has it become? And Q is sort of the same way. Q has come to represent the rebellion against the globalists. And it does seem to be having an effect. Somebody had spray painted a huge Q on the front doors of the Scottish Parliament. That was put up there. Somebody in Belgium held up a big sign and talking about Q. We want Q. So again, it's almost like the stars and bars, the battle flag of the Confederate Army, has come worldwide. Many people in other countries fly the battle flag because it came to represent rebellion against tyranny. Now, our founding fathers said, you will be either ruled by God or by tyrants. I don't remember which founding father said it, but that was a saying. You will be either ruled by one of these two, the Heavenly Father, or by tyrants. We talked about the verse that says, in rebellion you will have many rulers over you. Okay? That's exactly what we have. We've got the unelected bureaucrats of the European Union. You've got many unelected in Washington, D.C., same thing. It's approximately 8,000 individuals appointed with huge salaries, given almost unlimited power, and they're not even elected. Okay, that goes against everything America stands for and what the Founding Fathers stood for. It's basically a secret army, the SES, secret executive services. Okay, that is an army of unelected bureaucrats operating much the same as the unelected bureaucrats of the European Union. Communism. Okay, it's really what it is. It's the insurgency hiding under other names. And of course, the Mockingbird media is trying to convince you that this is all legitimate. Is it really? So a beast rising up from the seas, okay, seas represent what? People. So out of the peoples, the various Western nations have arisen these conglomerates of individuals who claim to be our masters, when in fact, no, they're not. Everything says we the people have the power. What they have is the power of deception. Let's see, who does that remind us of? By war, by deception thou shalt make war. Oh, that's right, that's the Israeli Mossad. The Jews, much as Christ told us, work in the dark by deception, behind closed doors. Why? Because they do not want to confront you. Because they know they're evil. They know they're wrong. They know their intentions and agendas are evil. So they can't confront righteous people face to face. They have to get somebody else to do their dirty work. And that's why they want to control the media and the money. That's the two main things they take over first. Media and money. Anytime they come into a nation. So all they have to do, and then also they push for the conglomeration of small businesses, typically run by mom and pop enterprises, particularly Christian. Okay, they come in and they buy them up so that it's all a gigantic corporation. Why do they want to do that? Because that's easier to control. Okay, why do they want all control in this country coming out of Washington, D.C.? Because they have completely inundated it with their slime. So they want us to believe that Washington has jurisdiction over everything, when the Founding Fathers didn't believe that. The Constitution doesn't support that. For instance, health care, that's a major one right there. The infanticide issue, that's a local issue. State and local level. That's not a federal issue. Neither is health care. Neither is education. Most of the departments out of Washington, D.C. are completely illegitimate. Okay, we in the sovereign states can make our own mind up about these various things. All right, we only came together for a forming of a country in order to secure the borders, maintain the peace, put in a road system, and put in a postal system for the benefit of all these sovereign states so that we could work together. And that was the only purpose of it. Remember, people in Washington weren't even supposed to be paid according to the Constitution. They were only going to get together maybe two or three times a year just to make sure everything's running smoothly, do a little tweaking here and there, and then get the hell out. That was the intention. It wasn't to turn into this beast that we have now. So part of the agenda today was nowhere to run, because where are you going to run, folks? Everybody is upset about what's going on. Everybody wishes it could be solved peacefully, and who wouldn't? And a lot of people would like to just pick up and just go to a new continent or a new country. But where are you going to run to? The tentacles of this beast will not cease until it strangles the entire earth. We're at the end of the age, folks. So even if you run off to Costa Rica or Colombia or Brazil or Argentina or over in Europe or Southeast Asia, where do you think you're going to get away from the beast? This beast isn't going to stop till it has complete control. And now with modern technology, that control will be astounding. Absolutely astounding. You're only seeing the beginnings of it as they start curtailing mass transportation. You see, their idea, of course, is that trains and planes are only for the elites and their friends to quickly go about so they can manage the plantation. You're just part of the slaves on the plantation, in case you haven't figured that out. That's all you're good for. And so there is nowhere to run and hide, folks. This is it. This is the final battle. You can see it building. Many, many people are talking about it, especially in the last couple of days. You can feel it coming. The world can't get much sicker than it is right now. There was an expose by one of the major channels I listened to of Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that little she-devil that should never have been on the Supreme Court. None of these Jews should be on the Supreme Court. Okay? And the things that she promotes and has even written in books about her attitude, I mean, this is where this mentality of anything referring to differences in genders, difference in sexes, different in between adults and children, the lines of demarcation and all these different things, parents versus their own children, etc. All these lines of demarcation need to be erased. That's a satanic goal. That's a Kabbalist goal. Okay? So right there, you've got a Supreme Court justice, a witch from hell, literally from hell, okay, and her dementia has an influence on the decisions of your highest court of the land. Now, the highest court is the highest appellate court. The Supreme Court is, everybody thinks in their minds, because they don't ever look at anything rationally anymore, it's all emotionalism, they think Supreme Court means supreme in the sense it's got the highest power. It's the Supreme Appellate Court. Appeals court. It doesn't mean that everything it says is new law. They were the highest court to judge appeals of other court decisions to make sure that they were constitutional. It's an appeals court. It's not a chamber of Congress. It can't write new law by the way it operates. It's working that way de facto, which means in operation, however, de jure, by law, it's not. So we have lawlessness. Now, it says in the scripture that there would be lawlessness in the end times. That was one of the characteristics of the flaws of man. And it was our Heavenly Father's law that the lawlessness is talking about. And since the founding fathers, for the most part, were either deists or outright believers, there was a lot of scriptural basis for the foundation of our law. So when we have lawlessness in the highest branches of our federal government, it is, in essence, against our Heavenly Father's law, because the founding fathers put biblical principles into the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. So they are in rebellion to our Father's law. So if you want to clean the swamp, you have to get rid of all the swamp creatures. And I don't really know if anybody in Washington does desire to do that. I'm just saying from what I'm seeing. Either there's impotency here involved, if there's distortion and treason involved, but whatever the effect, it's not cleaning the swamp the way it needs to be cleaned. It needs a complete and thorough cleansing. And I'm going to stand on what we've talked about here for many, many years, that's only going to be accomplished by a military action. Now, it doesn't mean a war, necessarily. Okay, it's only going to be a war if the evil resists. The only thing evil understands is force. You can't reason with it. You don't compromise with it. If that's what the Bible teaches, I want somebody to point out what scriptures you're referring to, because I've read them and I don't see it. Okay, you don't compromise with it. You can only use force to make people behave. Everybody understood that for thousands of years. Why is it so difficult today? I don't understand. Why do people have such a difficult time understanding precepts that go back for thousands and thousands of years, all the way back to the beginning with the law of Moses and the biblical law? Okay, so you have evil in this world, but how do you deal with evil? You deal with it, but with force. And this country, obviously, at the state and federal level, the government no longer represents we the people or our biblical basis. They don't. They're aliens. And they're traitors. They're of no effect. Okay. Once you can determine that they're outlaws, they have no authority over you, folks. It's a mental construct. Now, does the Antichrist forces have weapons at their disposal in the uniformed police and military? Maybe. Can they cause trouble at a localized level? Oh yeah, they can do that. Because there's enough shills and there's enough whores in uniform that'll take shekels to do almost anything. Cody Snodgrass, the former CIA operator, or contractor, I should say, who committed murder for the CIA before he came to Christ. Okay, he admits that. He has blood on his hands. He has much to atone for. But that's between him and the great white throne judgment. But the point of it is, he is a whistleblower telling you the CIA hires contractors to commit murder. Are you okay with that? And if the CIA is doing it, you know the FBI is doing it, and virtually every other branch of government. I've had personal testimony from people that were in the military that told me. For instance, in Illinois, the sniper I met. Okay, 27 people confirmed kills, all of them in South America. South America people, we weren't in a declared war. Why is our military sending snipers to execute people from a distance? Here again, is that biblical? To send a man who believes that his government would not do such a thing, that it's for a good purpose, and they go commit murder? That man now suffers from daily nightmares. He'll have nightmares the rest of his life because he's certain that some of those people that he took out weren't bad people at all, because the government fabricates lies continually. So they put a dossier in front of him with a man's picture with a made-up rap sheet, and it turns out all it is a political rival to somebody that the Jews in America did not want a rival to, because it was going to interfere with their making of money. It's all about the money, and they're not hiding that. The love of money is the root of all evil. Indeed, it is. And if you don't believe our government is doing these things, go read the book called The Brothers, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles and their secret world war. Okay, right there, the author goes through the whole litany of how the OSS became the CIA because of the work of the Dulles brothers, that they were prior employees of a very large, obviously Jewish law firm out of Washington, D.C., And they got into government and they were in collusion with each other. So the CIA has been a Jewish operation from day one, as well as most of the other intelligence agencies. And you wonder why they do the things they do. Well, they operate by the Talmud. They don't operate by your constitution. They don't operate by the laws of our God. They operate by the laws of their God, Lucifer, via the Talmud, which says it's okay to do all these things, all right? And that's why the world right now is not real happy with the United States of America, because, as they say in the Middle East, we have become the great Satan, the great adversary of the world, because we're being led by the nose by the Zionists within our borders. Good case in point, look at Pelosi and Schumer. You don't have to look any further than that. Two Zionist Jews, and look at the things they represent. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, another Jew. Look what she represents. Anything resembling Christian America there? No. Lots to represent the Talmud, though. Their holy book, doing the works of their father, just as Christ said in John chapter 8. And so now we have nowhere to run. These tentacles of these antichrists reach into every nation, and mostly through the economic system, and then it's backed up with military might by stooges like the United States military has been, and the United Kingdom, and France, and Germany, Australia, New Zealand. Okay? Why? Because somebody paid them. No conscience anymore. Most people in uniform don't have a conscience. The ones that do are probably the ones that are committing suicide. We've got over 22 soldiers per day. Per day. 22. Committing suicide. The highest it's ever been. In fact, statistically, we're losing more men and women in uniform to suicide than we are to enemy bullets. Even though our military is in many places they don't belong, we're still losing more that are taking their own lives. You might ask why. Could it be that 50% of our military is on psychotropic drugs? Did you know that? 50% of our military is on pharmaceutical drugs. 50%. Many of them have a side effect of suicidal tendencies. That could be a contributing factor. And then the immoral things that our men and women are asked to do and the things that they witness. Not very pleasant at all. Just as police officers I've talked to and the things they've witnessed in many of our law enforcement agencies. Despicable. Despicable. All you have to do is watch that video of that poor man in Arizona being gunned down by that policeman in the hallway of La Quinta. If that doesn't anger you to the point of rising up, then nothing will. That's why I say nowhere to run. This is it. This is it. What are you going to do, folks? This is an outright takeover of the world, not just here in the United States, but the world by these Kabbalists. It's a satanic takeover. And again, I'm not saying Q is for real or is Q completely 100% accurate or any of that stuff, but the Q effect is real. The Q effect now. I'm not saying that Q itself is legitimate. I'm saying the Q effect, meaning the movement that it has caused, the awakening, getting people to think, getting them to question. I know lots of people today that have woke up to many of the things going on because of what's put into the Q posts. Okay, that part of Q I support. If it helps wake people up, that's great. The problem is you can't worship it. It's not a god. You don't worship it. And you don't worship Donald Trump. He's a man. Okay? He's just a man. I have no idea what's in the heart of Donald Trump. And today, Lee Stranahan was talking about the fact that he believes, and I believe Kevin Shipp has said the same thing, the former CIA officer, that many of the people that feed information to Donald Trump are giving him false information. He's being fed lies. He's trusting people to report to him accurately, and that's not happening. That could be. All the more reason why you don't worship him and think that he's going to be our Savior. We have a Savior. He's known as Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. Okay, you have a Savior and a Commander-in-Chief. And we have an army. It's called We the People. Armed with truth, armed with intestinal fortitude, armed with conviction, and armed with semi-automatic rifles with 30-round clips. It all works together. Now, if we can accomplish our goals without firing a shot, as Sun Tzu says, that's, you're the greatest warrior. And a great warrior we should be. As wise as the serpent and as innocent as the dove. But warriors we have to be, which means we have to be prepared to go to war, mentally and physically, at all times. At all times. That's a biblical precept. It's also common sense. Switzerland proves that it works. The ancient Spartans in their glory days proved that it works. Citizen soldiers, all the men of your country are part of your army, as they do in Switzerland. Just makes common sense. Why? Because enemies that would do harm to you and your family only respond to threats of violence. No other threat has any sway over these people. We already put murderers in jail. Has it slowed down the murder rate? Nope. We put rapists in jail instead of executing them. Has it slowed down the raping of our women? Nope. It's escalating. Okay? Kidnapping, same thing. We put them in jail instead of executing them. Has it worked? No. Because people that do these things don't respond to jail time. They don't care. They don't give a damn. But what does make them pause, not all of them, but a lot of them, is the idea that they will be shot very quickly, by the way. Speedy trial. The Constitution guarantees a speedy trial. And our court system and law enforcement today is a mockery of that constitutional mandate. Speedy trial. Justice delayed is justice denied. That's why there's no justice in America. The court system is a tool. There's people that do what they do counting on the long delays and long time that it takes for anything to happen. That's how the Jews stole the rights from the young teenager out in the Midwest that figured out how to make a motion picture camera work. None of the scientists and PhDs and engineers could figure it out. And this kid, teenager out in the Midwest, figured it out. But they didn't want to pay him money. So they drug him through the courts for 20 years until the patent ran out, and then they went ahead and promoted the movie industry. That's how they work. That's how they work. So we the people are the army. We are to be armed, and we have to be mentally prepared to go to war. You have an enemy right now that has risen up like never before. They are in your face. This latest one is a direct slap in the face that it's okay to murder a child. If you call yourself a believer, for all you pew setters out there that I have absolutely no respect for whatsoever, if you can sit in that whitewashed sepulcher and call yourself a believer in the living God, and you're not raising hell over this issue, you're lost. You're completely lost. Ezekiel chapter 37 tells us that at this time, Father, at some point, out of this valley of dead and dry bones, tell me that isn't the average white man and woman today. Dead, dry bones. That's a spiritual reference, okay? Yeah, they've got the image of a living creature, but there's no substance. They're dead, dry. No life in them. No water. No living water runs through those veins. They just go through the motions of being alive, but they're not. They're zombies. And Yahweh says, I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'm going to take that valley of dead and dry bones. I believe it's the truth of his word being said into the ethers when it falls under the ears of those who are meant to hear it. They become living creatures once again. That's why all of a sudden you're hearing many, many of the truthers and alternative media people talking about Scripture and talking about our Heavenly Father and talking about repentance. His spirit is going out there. There is an army that's awakening, and this army will take orders from the Most High, not a government. Government is the enemy of the people, just as big corporations, every one of them, is an enemy of the people. Large central banking, enemies of the people. All of them are. Especially these corporations that have anything to do with pharmaceuticals, vaccines, and the food production. Enemies of the people. That's obvious. Make no mistake about it. So there is nowhere to run, folks. And again, we've talked about this many times. There is no fence to sit on at this time. None whatsoever. Nowhere to run. Nowhere to hide. There is a great awakening going on, so you only have a choice of whether you're going to side with the beast or side with the Christ and his army that's forming right now. Which one will it be? You decide. It's almost go time. So, I'm just saying... I wanted to bring a whole lot of things to your attention this morning, but, you know, between last night and prayers this morning and looking over notes and all that, it was like, it's exasperating to see the level of criminality and the level of degradation of this country and all the other white nations as well, and the world in general. What man is willing to do to fellow man? It's disgusting. It really is disgusting. And why we allow this cesspool to continue is even more of a dilemma. It just doesn't make sense. Why are we sitting around letting government stooges called bureaucrats tell us that they are the end-all of authority? Completely in contradiction to the Bible, the Constitution, and any moral compass that a normal person would have. What kind of people will do the atrocities such as cutting a baby out of a mother, cutting its body parts out, and selling them, and think that it's okay because some bureaucrats put on a piece of paper that they had permission to do it? What kind of mentality does that? I'm at a loss. I'll tell you what. I'm gonna put Michael on the hot seat here. You haven't flagged me, Michael, but I saw you on the screen. So if you don't mind, I was gonna bring you in on the conversation.
No, Dan. I as you were speaking, I just had to take a deep breath because all I keep thinking of is the definition of who's hot and who's cold and who's lukewarm. And what you described, and you didn't go into gruesome detail, but when you hear from, my voice is cracking, I'm getting upset now. When you hear somebody that you love and trust describe the condition of our people and what our men are standing by and allowing, That is the very definition of lukewarm. I mean, when your enemy tells you over all this fancy modern electronic media that we are now offering children up to Moloch the way the ancients did, and and that we are not doing anything about it. I'm ashamed. I said a quick prayer of repentance. I said, Father, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I mean, what are we afraid of? I mean, seriously, what are we afraid of? Are we more afraid of being called a name, or are we afraid of losing our jobs, or what are we afraid of? Are we going to bend knee to our Maker and say, I'm sorry, I didn't do anything because I thought I would lose a job or a friend? Or just, could you imagine the face of your Maker just looking at you and just shaking his head? So I gave you everything. I gave you my spirit. I promised you that if you did my will, that I would never leave you or forsake you, and you couldn't speak up or just even put your body in between a murderer with a scalpel in his hand and a baby, an unborn child.
Yeah.
I'm ashamed of myself. I'm ashamed of myself, and I'm making a list of every single damn thing that I'm worried about that has absolutely no significance whatsoever in comparison to this. I mean, why are we born as men? What is our job? What is our role? And a Marine dad who told me when I was 5 years old, my mother dressed me up in a little bow tie, sent me down to the bus stop, walked me down on the first day of school in kindergarten. And I remember my dad saying to me, if you come home from school crying, I'll give you something to cry about. And if you stand by and watch while your brother or your sister or any other kid on that bus stop or on that bus or at school is picked on and you do nothing, I'm going to be ashamed of you. And I was more afraid of my father being ashamed of me, to be honest, than him being, you know, pulling the strap out or punishing me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that I was the Father was trying, you know, our Heavenly Father was trying to teach us something. All men, all young men, why do you think there is such an attack and this so-called toxic testosterone or
masculinity,
toxic masculinity right now? Because our enemy knows that we are it. We are that vanguard. We are that group of people that if anything is going to be done, it's us. There is no one. There is no hero that's going to come walking out on the stage like Jew Hollywood tries to make us all think. You're the hero in your family. You're the hero. It's
mm-hmm.
the collective mindset of this is our people. We worship this God. And if you mess with us or our way of life, you're going to deal with all of us. This idea of standing around waiting for some hero to arrive, baloney. It's nonsense. It's propaganda. It's Jew Hollywood fairy tales. Dan, you would do better justice to the story of Phineas than I would, but that's a handle I've taken up.
Yeah.
And I firmly believe, yeah.
Well, I was just thinking while you were talking of Richard Kelly Hoskins and his book Vigilantes of Christendom, which is a rather large book. He goes into many countries and the Phineas priesthood that still lives to this day. You don't ever hear about it, but he uncovers many of the stories of the Phineas priesthood and what they've done to uphold God's law. And, of course, the media doesn't want you to know that they exist because they're afraid it'll catch on, just as it did in the days in the Book of Numbers when Phineas the real Phinehas, the first Phinehas, put the javelin down between the prince of Israel that was having sex with a non-Israelite woman while the congregation was crying, much like we're doing here today, lamenting on the sick and sorry state of the Israelite people. And then Phinehas sees this supposed leader of our people, who should know better, dragging a female into his tent to have sex with her that's not even of our kind, not of our faith or of our race. And he put a spear down through the two of them at the same time, just skewered them. And the story, of course, is that Yahweh not only blessed Phinehas for this action, but made his posterity a perpetual royalty within his, and a royal blessing upon his posterity. So we know they're out there, the physical descendants of Phinehas. But it was also the fact that many thousands of Israelites picked up javelins and duplicated what Phinehas did that same day, to where, I can't remember the figure now because I don't have it in front of me, but it was something close to like 10,000 Israelite men were executed that day for the crime of miscegenation, okay? The principle is the same. It takes action, okay? Everybody's sitting around saying, many of so-called believers, I doubt whether they actually are or not, but many so-called believers are sitting around going, well, we know it's bad, but we're going to get raptured any second now. They believe that line of bullcrap coming from these prostitutes in churches. So that's a segment right there. The other segment have been cucked because they were raised by women instead of men. Another segment is so full of GMO foods and poisons and vaccines and other toxic material, they can't even think anymore. Their pineal gland is almost completely shut down. So they have no spiritual antenna. There's no connection to the Father. And it's because that's the way they want it. So, you know, we've got a situation where the true Israel people are a tiny remnant, exactly as it says in the New Testament. You know, when Christ said, my flock is a tiny flock, not even little. He used the word tiny. Now, somehow he's going to bring us through all this. And at one point, there will be a massive repentance, and I believe we're beginning to see the signs of it. I don't know if you were listening when I talked about Lee Stranahan, who's a major reporter on the criminality going on all over the earth, but particularly in Washington, D.C., when he talked about the fact that just last night he was researching a connection with Fox News to covering up certain key stories, and he heard a voice, clear as a bell, tell them, dig further. Okay? And, you know, a lot of people poo-poo stuff like that, but I, for one, know it does happen, because it happens to me and many of the people I know. And so he did do a further digging and did uncover some major connections to unravel why somebody like Fox News is interested in covering up some of the key stories. So, you know, a great awakening, I believe, is in effect. It's ramping up very quickly. That's why the yellow vest thing is as big as it is, and it continues to grow in spite of the New World Order trying to suppress it. You know, it's much like a balloon. If you take a balloon and you start pressing in on it, the resistance to the press becomes greater and greater until eventually you can't keep it that way, and it just bounces right back out. That's kind of what's happening. The New World Order is trying to suppress free speech and freedom of movement and freedom of thought and freedom to question authority, and they're trying to press in upon it, and eventually it's going to backfire on them. At least that's the way I see it. How about you?
Dan, perfect. No, I see exactly. And because our enemy knows what our spirit and our drive and our natural proclivities are, to defend the weak and do the right thing. they've used Hollywood, TV, movies, what have you, to try to tone that down and crush it. How many people, I wish I could see a show of hands, how many people as a child would be watching, like, I hated this one show because I hated this one character so much. It was called Lost in Space, and this disgusting, horrible, murdering, gay, just every horrible characteristic you could possibly imagine in a man, this Dr. Smith. What were we being brainwashed into believing? That this guy who tried to murder this family of pioneers, they just kept old weirdo Dr. Smith around because we don't want to do the wrong thing and banish him or execute him for trying to murder us. Not only that, we continue to feed him. We continue to clothe him. We continue to house him. Let's leave it up to the law. Let's leave it up to the experts. Let's leave it up to the bureaucrats to decide what's going to happen to this guy. And every show, he'd do something demonic and horrible to this family to risk their lives and their property and their children. And they did nothing. They would just laugh it off. Oh, that's just good old Dr. Smith. Eventually somebody will handle him. No, wrong. Kill the bad guy that tried to kill your family.
Right.
I knew this as a 5-6-year-old child. And what do we see in every TV show? Oh, no, justice isn't for you, the average guy on the street. If you see somebody, don't take the law into your own hands. Don't do the right thing. Don't use your God-given right, your natural right to protect your body and your family and your property. You must call the police, the experts. You have to get the government's permission to protect you and your people and your family and your money and your property. No! Stop listening to these people. They've castrated us, men. Stop listening to them. Dan, you know about the history in the Old West that was so peaceful, by the way. Everybody, you know, Jew Hollywood, of course, paints it to be this, you know, posses as this mob all the time. Is that what posses were? Or was that actually a biblical way of carrying out justice?
Yeah, biblical.
It was biblical, exactly. They
right.
Paint this that Wild West scenario that everybody had a gun and everybody was walking around shooting everyone. No, it was a polite, genteel society. Everybody respected the other person and their property, because if they didn't, what would happen? What would happen? There are no consequences today. There are no consequences today. The law-abiding citizen gets screwed in this country. The people who get up and do all the working and slaving and inventing and innovating and all the bleeding and dying and all these damn Jew wars, we get screwed. We pay for everything. We build a civilization, and we're expected to turn it over to people who, some of them, don't even have a written language. Yet mm-hmm. We stand here. We're being told that we just have to take it, because the purpose of government, the purpose of democracy, is to allow everyone a vote. Really? So the purpose of democracy is to have the people whose forefathers said, we the people, in order to form a more perfect union, not a union of every bipedal creature on the planet, our people. We were going to build a great civilization away from corrupt Jew banker Europe. And that's what we started. And when the Jew got their hands on it, oh, Dan, I'm just, I've got tears in my eyes right now. Did Thomas Edison say that? It's better that the average American doesn't understand our money system, or there would be blood in the streets tomorrow. I mean, or was it Henry Ford? I think it was Henry Ford who actually said it. What is it going to take, people? It's being shoved right in our faces now. Not only are you not allowed to keep the fruits of your labors, not only do you have nothing to say, and will you not get justice when your daughters and your wives are raped, not only are we not allowed to have, now science is racist, right, Dan? Now mm-hmm. science is racist. It's at the, they're shoving it in our faces now. What did Ocasio-Cortez do 2 weeks ago now? This psychopath. Now even the Democrat Party is saying, what have we unleashed? Because she went and did a sit-in in front of Nancy Pelosi's office and said, and did you hear this in the press? Are you seeing this all over the news? That it's white people who are the problem. We don't care if you're in our party, Nancy Pelosi. You're part of the problem because you're white. Hello, people. Wake up. This is, look at the voting at every election. What is it always about? Unless you're white, of course. People vote on racial lines every single time. If you're non-white, if you're white, you vote to give away the store, the civilization, your own property to strangers who hate you and vow to replace you. Is that why you were born? Is that the purpose of a civilization? So that your ancestors can sweat and bleed and innovate and create and build and turn something over to you so that you can turn it over to people who hate you and vow to replace you? That's what democracy is, people. Giving people who have nothing to do and want nothing to do with you an equal say in what your people built. That should be the definition of democracy.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, who's at the head of all of it every single time, Dan? Every single area of our lives that is now managed. Who is behind all of it? This isn't some conspiracy theory. It's fact. They're behind all of it because they want us gone.
Yeah, the perfidious Jew. Yeah.
It's the, every single... So what? How do we as individual men do this? Am I saying that each of us should stand in front of the White House or chain ourselves to the gates? I don't know what all the answers are. All I know is that in every single scenario, in every single day, everything that I'm in, I say to myself, would my maker and my great example be proud of me and what I said and did, or would they be ashamed of me? And it's getting to the point where I say to myself, maybe something big needs to be done. Maybe an organized movement needs to get underway where we just tell these murderers of children, no, put us in prison. Do your worst. We're not going to stand by and watch while you murder babies and then use their parts to flavor Pepsi-Cola. Did you know that, people? The next time you open up a Pepsi-Cola, they use baby parts to flavor it. They put it in vaccines. Wake up. Wake up.
Well, Part of the problem is that they have seduced us mentally, but they've also bribed us, much like what Revelation says, that the people are committing fornication and basically drunk on the delicacies of Babylon. The Babylonians buy our acquiescence with pension plans, 401ks, promises of retirement via some government agency. That's why they stole your money. See, if you saved it yourself, you would be in control of your own destiny, but because it's being issued from a government agency, that gives them power. So they hold your money for your entire working career, and then you're at the mercy to do it exactly the way they say, or they withhold your own money from you. So a case in point, I have a friend that's just retired from the Navy, and he's got a relative that was just retired as a captain. And some of the things this guy, as a captain in the Navy, has said, it just caused me to just shake my head. It was unbelievable. Obviously, he drank the Kool-Aid, and he is basically a cuck to the system. So I started asking questions about how did they get him to roll over? Well, here's how they got him to roll over. He comes into an office for his entire career. He spends maybe 2 to 3 hours in his office every day, and subordinates do the rest of the work. He just basically comes in and signs a few things and goes home the rest of the day to play golf, play with mama, whatever he wants to do. And they paid him a very handsome salary to do all this. And then upon retirement, he's going to make probably 4 times, maybe 5 times the poverty level in this country, which is where I'm at. He's going to make $75,000 to $80,000 a year for nothing, part of a retirement. Plus, he gets free medical. Plus, he signed up for sleep apnea, so he gets a $3,000 machine and another $1,800 a month tacked on to his already $75,000. And he's hired by a corporation so that his name and rank can be put up there with the board of directors, and they're willing to pay him $120,000-some a year just for his name recognition and his brand. This is the
kind
of
thing. Sounds like a bunch of bribes.
It's a bunch of bribes. And so what it is he won't challenge anything because he's got a boatload of money coming in, a great big old hacienda with wife and children in it, and he's living the high life thanks to the beast, which, by the way, all across government, the salaries are outrageous anymore for most, especially those in any kind of a upper-level position. It's just unbelievable. When I was a boy, most people didn't want to go into government service because the pay was so bad. Now it's just the opposite. People are clamoring to get there because of the protections, the guarantees, and you're, quote, part of the club, while the rest of us are slaves, and they just push us around. And if we get out of line, that's when you get visited by FBI, Secret Service, or IRS. Those are the bullies that the social club uses to keep everybody in line. They don't take you on in a debate about facts or Constitution, all that. Those things are irrelevant to these people. They have now tasted power. They're drunk in Washington, D.C., and most state capitals. They are drunk, literally drunk, on power and money.
So, Dan, let me ask you a question. How about this? Think of this scenario for a second. Let's say somebody offered you a gigantic pot of gold, real gold. And in this giant kettle were, you know, all these Spanish doubloons and you know, American Eagle, you know, dollars. It was real, it was something real. And then they listed all of these things you're going to have to do. You're going to have to keep your mouth shut. You're going to have to do whatever the Jew and the government want you to do. You're going to have to betray your own people and watch while your sons and daughters get sent off to wars to die for the Jew. You're going to be silent while your kids eat poison and drink poison and get injected with poison. You're going to be silent while you watch your people being raped and murdered all over the world. You're going to do nothing. Would you do it for real gold? No, I wouldn't do it for real gold. The sickest part of all of this, Dan, is all of these people, the millions of people who are currently working and are currently on retirement benefits, they're doing it for less than gold. They're doing it for fictitious Federal Reserve dollars.
Yeah.
It's nothing. And the Jew laughs. Yes.
Yeah.
So they're betraying their own people for nothing.
Right. You know what that reminds me of, Mike? There's a verse in the Bible where the father, through a prophet, was saying, my people would be led back into bondage of Egypt without a price. Meaning, the original enslavement, at least a price was paid for them. The second time we're in bondage, it cost them nothing. We did it for nothing. A fictitious
stroke of a pen.
Yeah, a stroke of a pen, a Ponzi scheme called a Federal Reserve System. It's unbelievable. It's all a great big gigantic Ponzi scheme. And so we've got people making decisions on the lives of the people in their countries or their states or counties based on whether or not they can keep digits in an electronic bank account. That shows you the level of their integrity and character. Digits that can be erased.
No more than that.
Exactly. These digits could vanish in a split second at the push of a button.
Don't think the Jew won't do it. Think the Jew won't do it. That's what they always do. The Jew always does that. They use something up until it dries up, just like we use the analogy all the time. It's not even an analogy anymore. It's real. They suck the blood out of the host until it's dead, and then when it's dried up and blows away, they find another one. What do you think they're going to do with America? What do you think Israel is doing with America? It's in the works now. Why do you think the President of the United States stands there all the time and says, the real enemy is China? The real danger is China. And who is the Jew spy giving all of our military secrets to? And all of our technology secrets and inventions to?
China.
Yes. Yeah.
Remember, Bill Clinton
opened
up the Patent Office.
That's what this Belt and Road initiative is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the Clintons opened up the Patent Office doors and let the Chinese pilfer in there and take whatever patents they wanted. It was shortly.
And if you say anything, you're a racist.
Well, they can call me anything they want at this point. I really don't care. You know, you were talking about how they got our people to agree to the slaughter of our own people. It reminds me of the betrayal of these churchgoers out here. They're not even aware of it. They're sitting in the pews of these whitewashed sepulchers. They don't even know that that imposter behind the pulpit has already betrayed them to the Department of Homeland Security through the secret clergy registry. Okay, all somebody has to do is Mark Taylor. I don't know that Mark Taylor is 100% legit, but he did expose this secret clergy registry with the Department of Homeland Security in one of his interviews recently. So people could go down that rabbit hole if they want. But there's an outright betrayal of the sheep in the congregation by their so-called preachers for a promise that when the Bolsheviks take over, they won't hurt the preacher and his family. Okay, so they already know what's coming, and they're already trying to make backdoor deals that they won't be hurt when the Bolsheviks take over. But let me remind people, as I often do, it's only 100 years ago that the Jew-Bolshevik-Zionist-Communist revolution overthrew Christian Tsarist Russia. Now, what people seem to forget is they think that was an overnight thing. It wasn't. The revolution happened. There was a bunch of politicking going on. And at one point, the Tsar and his family abdicated to try to appease these Jews so that there wouldn't be more bloodshed, there wouldn't be any more problems. They actually abdicated. That means he gave up the throne.
Voluntarily left the throne, and how does Jew Hollywood portray it? Oh, they had to storm the palace. They had to force them out. No, they didn't.
He abdicated.
They didn't.
And here's the sad part. Here's the sad part. They capitulated and gave the Jews what they wanted. This shows you the mentality of the Jew, by the way. And they even brag about the fact that you will never satisfy us. So here the Tsar and his entire family move out of the palace. They're in the outskirts of the town. And over a period of months, the Russian people began to see through the lies. And they began to see that these communists were not actually going to do any of the good things they said, and that it was going to be very, very bad. And they started talking openly about reinstituting the monarchy under the Tsar. So what did the Bolshevik Jews do? They moved the Tsar and Tsarina to another undisclosed location further out away from the city. And in the middle of the night, Jews went in and butchered the entire family, including their servants, including any of their bodyguards. Anybody that worked with the family and the family were butchered in the basement. Okay, that's how they do things. Did they want to stand up and justify what they did to the Russian people in the revolution and say, come on now, we want your vote because we're better than the Tsar? They knew the people would return to the Tsar. They got caught up in the moment, just like they did when they crucified the Christ. The same Bolshevik tactic. Give us Barabbas! Crucify this blasphemer. Give us the murderer, Barabbas. And the crowd went along with it. And they murdered the Christ. They murdered the Tsar and Tsarina, who had committed no crime whatsoever and represented Christian monarchy that was beloved of the people up until the time the Bolsheviks showed up. And again, for a spell, people got caught up in all the rhetoric. Just like now, Ocasio-Cortez and Schumer and Pelosi and all the other Zionists in there screaming about how you want this and you want that. And people get caught up in this because they don't think until it's too late. Once the Tsar and Tsarina had been murdered, they were stuck.
Perfect analogy. Perfect analogy, Dan. This stuff repeats itself. And you know what? What people don't understand is they mix the Jew up as a white man.
Right.
They don't, the average, let's say, Hispanic or black voter, what have you, do we ever for a second think that blacks or Hispanics are wrong for wanting their own people to live better? No. No, what we've been trying to get through to these people is that they should have their own countries with their own leadership and their own government. We should all be free of the bondage of the Jew. All
right.
Peoples have been harmed by them. And we've been put into this, what they call, melting pot. And the finger is always pointed at the white man. Really? Really? What has this nation become since the Jew has been in charge of finance? What has this nation become since the Jew has been in charge of medical and pharmaceutical? What has this country become since the Jew has been in charge at top universities? What has this country become since the Jew has been in charge of the local school system? What has this country become since the Jew got their hands on Hollywood and the press and television This country is one gigantic cesspool that does not, it no longer resembles the vision that our forefathers had in their minds when they drew up that wonderful document that is the Constitution. The problem is there wasn't strong enough language in there. There wasn't language in there that said, here are the people who are not our people. And number one on the list should have been the Jew. Even though our founders knew, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, George Washington, since they all knew the danger that the Jew was, because they saw for hundreds of years what the Jew had done for 1,700 years, what the Jew did in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
They warned us, and they thought because we were so far away in the New World, in the Americas, that nothing, that the Jew could do nothing about it. But there weren't strong enough barriers. There wasn't a strong enough disinfectant for that disease. Now we're dealing with it. Now we're dealing with it. Does anybody have any doubt that's within earshot of this broadcast? Does anybody have any doubt who the problem is?
No.
No.
It's the 800-pound elephant in the middle of the room. Nobody wants to talk about it, but it's there staring you in the face. But here's the good news, Mike. Here's the good news real quick.
I'm
just going to say an awful lot of comments. I read a lot of comments on different channels that are putting out information. And I'm going to tell you, I have never in my life seen people say the things that these commenters are making now. Many of them pointing out this Zionist connection to everything going wrong. And I've even seen now comments where they're even putting the identity message out there. Not the whole thing, but pieces of it to get people to start thinking about the biblical aspects of all this. So hallelujah for that. And maybe that's another indication that something big is about ready to happen.
Well, Dan, I mean, and I know I said before that it's an axiom. We already have a one. We already have the one. Yeshua, he is the one, and we're supposed to be following his example. But as the Father showed us with the example that you very eloquently described with Phineas, this is what he expects of us. That's what these stories in the Old Testament are for. And I should stop calling it the Old Testament. What the world calls, it's one book. It's one story. It's one testament about a people and their interaction with everybody else. Our people. Our people. Dan, I'm telling you, this could be the linchpin for the whole thing. You've been doing this for, what, 25, 30 years?
19 on the air, and then that other years. Yeah, go ahead.
Teaching our people who we really are and who the imposters are.
Mm-hmm.
If all of that clicks in the minds of our people and they finally see, how could this little admixture, this group of people who is a miscegenation of Turk and Asian and white and every other group on the planet, how could that be the true Israelites? How could these people that admit, look at every single prime minister who has ever led Israel, they all admit that they're not the Israelites of the Bible. The Jewish Encyclopedia admits they're not the Israelites of the Bible. So where is this fascination with the churches in the West, with these people? Where is the fascination? If they're not Israel, why are you doing their demonic deeds? Why are you worshiping these people, churches of America? Why are you following them? If they're not who they say they are, Look, I could run around all day and say I'm a Rockefeller or I'm a Rothschild. I'm not. I could even change my name to that, which is what these people have done, these Jews. They're not the Israel of the Bible. They're the enemy of the Israel of the Bible. Dan, one morning, if enough people in America wake up to this fact, they're going to say, so let me get this straight. My son and my nephew died for wars for these demonic people who have tricked us. They stole my 401k. They stole my grandfather's farm from him. All of the, just think of all the individual lives and minds that have been destroyed by these demons. And the American people, Dan, you say it all the time, Obadiah, that fire that's going to be, there's going to be no place for these people to hide. And I'm telling you, I'm not saying that the average person that observes Judaism on the street, who knows, maybe they're not even really Jewish ethnically. Maybe they just say they are, or their ancestors did because it was politically expedient to do so.
Mm-hmm.
Are we saying that every single person, Jewish person that just wants to get up and go work their job and come home and take their... No, I'm not saying they're all in on this. I'm not saying... But for those who are Jews who do not speak up for what they see and what their people are doing, they're wrong. There have been enough brave Jews, not to pat these people on the back, but there have been enough brave Jews who've spoken up. And we're not asking for violence. We're asking, get out of our countries, leave our people alone, and everything will be fine. You wanted that hole in that sand pit? Go there. Go there. We wish you well, because you know what? You know what's going to happen to us and our people and every other people on earth if we're just left alone? Paradise. That's what this country was on its way to being if it wasn't for these people and their influence. And they laugh about it. They brag about it. And then they use anti-Semites. They throw names around whenever we defend ourselves and speak up for our own people. Well, you know what? If all I have to be afraid of is that I lose a few shekels or a house or a car, so be it. I would rather be in the right and know that I went to the grave knowing that I was trying to free my people from this bondage, this slavery, and it's more of slavery of the mind than anything else. Why are we so afraid? What are we afraid of? What are we afraid of? Just say no. Could you imagine if the white man didn't show up to work tomorrow?
Well, South Africa's power industry is learning what it's like when you lose the white guys running the show. And since that's my that was my wheelhouse during my career is electrical power, I read that article with certain interest because I could tell whoever wrote it knew what he was talking about. You're right. If white people were to boycott the system would collapse very, very quickly. For instance, now next Saturday is the day of Day of mourning for the babies, and the people organizing this have asked that we wear black next Saturday, pray, and do not shop. Don't spend any of your hard-earned money in any of these. Typically, almost everything is run by a Jew at some point, whether it's the bankers that got the business going or actually sitting in some corporate structure somewhere. So pretty much don't shop unless it's a local farmer or something like that, I guess, it's the believer, but don't shop in any of the corporate, certainly, businesses that whole day. So that's not a big price to pay to me for us to support this. Just simply wear black, pray for repentance of our people to come back to the Father and our senses, which we're completely insane right now, and stop spending your frickin' money, folks. You know?
Yeah.
Mike, I'm so
glad.
How
hard is that?
Huh?
How hard is that? How hard would that be to not go to a movie? Do your grocery shop in a different time of the week. Don't go out to a restaurant. Gee, I'm sorry. You don't have someone else making you a meal on Saturday night. I'm sorry. You have to eat at home. Is that how spoiled we are? We can't show, to your point, Dan, we can't show a little bit of solidarity with our God and our own people by not spending a few of these Federal Reserve notes on one day? One day!
Right.
We should refuse to spend them at all, ever.
Well, I'm in a campaign to do that as much as I can. I don't visit grocery store. Well, no, I can't say grocery stores. There's a few, but I only buy a few select products in it. But I don't go to restaurants. I don't go to the tiki huts and the bars. And I don't even go to the American Legion and the VFW much anymore. For that very reason, I find most people to be disgusting because of what they talk about and what they believe is important in this world when it's absolutely idiotic. Now, I will say that over the past 6 months to 8 months, there's been a lot more talk about more significant things, but still, I'm finding the world, and he told us to come out of Babylon at this point in time, to step back from Babylon. And I believe that's partly what he's saying. So I spend very little time in any stores. I don't go out to do much of that stuff. I just want to exist one day to the next. Just try to put clean water in my body. It was interesting. The Hagman Report had the son of Dr. Boer, B-R-O-E-R, out of Central Florida, on yesterday, and part of his discussion was our slouching towards communism, and he got into the health aspects, and he reiterated many of the things that we've talked about here. So there is another segment of our society that's beginning to realize this is crucial, and we need to literally come out of Babylon in every way that you can possibly do it. For one thing, I believe, Mike, I believe it's going to collapse very soon, which means you're not going to have, you've been spoiled, and that's what they're counting on, the fact that you're spoiled and you'll do whatever your Jewish masters tell you, or they're going to try to starve you out. That's what they're trying to do to the Venezuelan people right now, starve them into submission. Okay, and they're going to do the same exact thing in every other white nation. That's why they want centralized control over transportation, centralized control over energy, centralized control over food. Because if they can control those things and deny you access to them, they can get you to acquiesce. They can get you to buy into the, quote, New World Order, allowing the Jew to have dominion. And we're getting a taste of what that'll be like, with the demented statements of Pelosi and Schumer and Ocasio-Cortez, that complete retard from New York, and all the rest of them, okay? You're getting just a sample of what it'll be like when they take full control, because there's still an element of resistance here they're not quite sure about. Wait till that's gone. Wait till the people like Mike and myself have been silenced. What do you think it's going to be like, folks? They've already said that they can kill your child, okay? They're saying now it's because the mother says so, but what will be the next step? Well, the food companies need those parts for additives. So we don't have enough voluntary abortions, therefore we'll take yours.
Yeah, or the elite need the stem cells so that they can live forever. Well, why do you can't withhold your children? We need to sacrifice them up.
Exactly. So again, sacrifice your child to Moloch for the betterment of the ruling class, which was exactly what the Israelites did in ancient times. The rulers got them into a, quote, religion that promoted the idea that they're to be in charge, and they made them prove that they're obedient by sacrificing their child. Well, we're doing exactly the same thing. Exactly the same thing.
And Dan, another way that we're brainwashed, right? Another way that we're brainwashed. Can you just hear our fellow Israelites out there saying, well, what degree do you have? Are you an expert? Do I need a degree? I mean, this is the point that we're getting to. Do I need a degree to know that feces stink or the sky is blue? That's the point we're getting at, that this high priesthood, this demonic high priesthood of experts with their degrees are the only people who are allowed to know or say anything.
Right.
So if we know that there are additives in food and water that dumb us down, but just like they used in the gulags to resist, what did they say it was exactly? To reduce a prisoner's will to resist.
Right.
What does that sound like?
Yep.
Vaccinations. I have relatives with autistic children because they were pumped full of methylmercury. So people, get this straight now. My doctor wouldn't do that. Really? Your doctor doesn't know that if he speaks up against fluoridization of the water and methylmercury and other poisons, including antifreeze in vaccines, that he's not going to lose his license or be killed? Dan, how long is the list now of doctors who have been murdered because they speak up?
It's in the hundreds. It's in the hundreds.
Hundreds.
Yep.
Hundreds.
Yep.
This cult of experts that we've been trained to listen to and believe for everything, are we that far removed from our ancestors that we don't know what food is? Food! Are we that stupid? Are we that dumbed down? Are we that castrated that we believe these people when they tell us we're not allowed to collect rainwater on our own property? We're not allowed to feed ourselves good, clean, wholesome food? You're not allowed to grow some tomato plants on your own property without permission?
I've got one that works, that fits right in with that. I just found out from a friend. Did you know that in Miami-Dade County, on your own property, when you build a house on it, you have to have their approval for any landscaping done on your property? You have to have them come out and assess what you can plant and where you can plant it before you're allowed to build on your own property. We're talking about not part of a HOA housed or walled community, or you, even if you go out into the countryside or you go outside of town and you've got a three-quarter acre or an acre, let's say, and you're going to put a nice size house on it or whatever, you have to get them to come out and give you an approval of what you can plant and where you can plant it.
There you go, people.
I mean, there's no end to it. There's no end to this acquiescence. I mean, how much more do you have to back up? I started raising the alarm when I first heard about HOAs, and people were raving about them. I said, why are you raving about an HOA that can tell you what kind of trash cans to have, what color you can paint your house, what kind of roof to put on your house? How in the hell can you say that's good? Well, you know, you always have these people that don't fit in. You know, they don't keep their property. Okay, so what? Well, that takes away my property value. Oh, so now we're getting to it. It's the goddamn money again. All right? I'm going to screw over my neighbor with an HOA because you might cost me a couple grand on the price of my house. The whole time the Jew is taking wheelbarrows full of our money and putting it into their accounts down at the synagogue through the Federal Reserve, and these bastards don't have a problem with that. They don't have a problem with the federal government coming in and the state government taxing the shit out of them. No. But by God, my neighbor better keep that roof up because it might cost me a couple points on my assessment for my freaking house. That shows you the level of duplicity and ignorance in this society, Mike. It's unbelievable.
Dan, what happened to neighbors just talking to their neighbors and saying, hey, Joe, I don't know if you and your wife are struggling right now. Maybe a few of us can help you work on the roof on your house.
Exactly.
Instead of having some executive board of strangers send them a letter in the mail,
yep, that
we're going to sue you, we're going to take your home from you.
Oh, yeah.
Look at what we've become. We have taken on the character as a nation. We have taken on the character of these Jew lawyers and these bureaucrats. But you know what the word Soviet means?
No.
Community. It's their disgusting version of a community where people tattle on each other and don't help each other. And you have a group of elites driving on one set of highways while everyone else is standing online begging for toilet paper and sausage. It's a disgusting Jew, pardon the term, people, I know this is a family program, wet dream. It's their desire for the whole planet. That's what the New World Order, United Nations Agenda 21 is all about, telling you, you do not have any private property. You will do with your land that we allow you to live on what we say, or we will find some reason, some code, some bylaw to steal it from you. And we'll get your neighbors to tattle on you. They'll be the police force for us.
Right. That's what the predictive programming through the propaganda mills, the lamestream media, that's what that's all about. Trying to paint gun owners, Bible believers, and this goes clear back to Janet Reno, the kike dyke that was in the top cop's position there for a while to protect. She was put in there to protect Clinton from his criminality, and she did that. But, you know, clear back then, she put out a statement to law enforcement that, as far as she was concerned and the other Jewish cabal in Washington, the domestic terrorists that they needed to be on the look for were people like us. You believe in the Constitution. You believe in the Declaration of Independence. You believe in a cultural thing. You believe in racial purity. You believe in the Bible. You believe in the white race. You believe historical accuracy. You're not happy with the government. You're not happy with the Jew banking system. So, just like any other Talmud thumper, Janet Reno put it out, and law enforcement gobbled it up. Well, not all of them, because I spoke to a lot that weren't happy with that, but some of them bought all that up, and certainly the people with their minds pressed up against that flat screen image of the beast, you know, they were going, oh, wow, so that's what that's all about. So if I hear my cousin talking about the Second Amendment and Constitution and Bible and that the government might be wrong, oh, he might be a bad guy.
And what were cops all told? They were all told that if anybody you pull over talks about the Constitution, you should immediately assume that they are an enemy of the state.
Right. Yep. Yep. They they go through training, and I had a state trooper tell me this a long time ago, not my cousin, but another one, not related to me, that he said, Dan, and this was over 20 years ago, he said, Dan, we know we're being propagandized. He said, and a lot of us aren't happy about it, but we don't hear from guys like you that understand what you know and have studied the Constitution, the history of the country and all that. He goes, we don't get to hear from guys like you. And he goes, you need to come and talk to our guys. And I just looked at him and I said, well, I'm raising two families, a full-time job. Why don't you police officers start classes on it? Why do you want me to add that to the things I'm already doing? I said, I would love to talk to you guys. I said, but I haven't got an invitation. Nobody, until you came out to my property today on a mission to steal, praise be to the Father, what they came to steal was not there, but that was their purpose. And then he stuck around to talk with me when everybody else left, and we had a very interesting conversation. So I do know that there are some out there that know what's going on. But they're below the radar. They don't get on social media. They will only talk to you face-to-face with no electronics around. So I know they're out there. And I'm not trying to be discouraging that, you know, that we're 100% all alone. I don't believe that. I believe that the Ezekiel 37 army is forming right now. That's my heart's belief. I believe that army is taking shape and forming right now. And I don't know if it's tied in with any of the crap in Washington or this whole Q thing or whatever. I don't know. And personally, I don't care. Ezekiel said it's going to happen, and I can see it happening, and it'll take form the way the Father wants. And the Father doesn't answer to Q, to Trump, or to anybody else. It's his plan, his logos. It's interesting that the word logos is interpreted as word, and it's where we get the word logic from. But logos is also a plan. Okay, so that in the ancient Greek language, that word could mean either one, the spoken word or a plan, because both of them required logic, intelligence. It takes human intelligence to form words and communicate, and it takes human intelligence to form a plan. The animal kingdom doesn't do that. So logic, it takes intelligence to do that. And so Father's plan will come to fruition one way or the other. But it's, I just can't believe how far we've sunk, Mike. And yet, again, the silence is deafening from the pulpits of America. The silence is deafening from the World Council of Churches, which we know is communist. The Catholic Church is a complete and utter disgrace and joke, which thank the Father for that. They finally have been outed as the criminals that they are, despots and degenerates, especially at the top. So maybe it's about time, and I think it's starting to happen. The Protestant churches are also being stripped naked, as they're finding out the pedophilia and other sinister deeds by the leadership of most of the mainstream denominations. So I don't know. I'm looking forward to whatever Father's got in store for us.
To all of your points, Dan, this has been nothing less than an incredible boot camp for anybody who's willing to listen. I don't mean your program. I mean the downhill, precipitous collapse of Western civilization for any man that has a pair and a brain that wants to see. This is training for us. This is training for us. We are being taught what the world is going to be like when all of this collapses. Right now, when all the man-hating happens in academia and in the business world and in the entertainment world and in government, in society altogether, you watch what happens. when all of this collapses. All of this facade, there was a scene in Blazing Saddles where they built this fake town to make the bad guys think that, oh, that you know, they would go and run ragged through the, or run roughshod through this fake town. Well, that's all this really all is right here. This society that's been built by the Jew is nothing but a house of cards. And when it all comes collapsing down, what's going to happen? The people, and I'm not talking about just preppers. I'm talking about people who have the mindset, people who understand that, hey, maybe if I go without food for a day or two, that would be a good thing for me, considering I'm morbidly obese. I don't mean me personally. I mean the average guy on the street. If cable TV gets all shut down or the movies aren't playing in the theaters anymore, oh, no, it's good for us. It's good for us if that happens, and it's bad for the Jew. Everybody says, oh, well, what if the supermarket shut down? Well, if the supermarket shut down, the Jew doesn't make any money off of us, off of poison food, and maybe you can grow a garden in your own backyard. See, everything that the average moron on the street thinks would be such a horrible thing if it went away, I think our Father looks at it as an amazing thing, a good thing.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about this one night. Famine. Everybody saw, oh, a famine. I need to put away, you know, a year's worth of food in storage. Do you know the average person is walking around with probably a month's worth of stored body fat on their body that they could use as fuel? What do you think body fat is, besides a place to store away toxins and pockets of poison? It's fuel. It's excess fuel that your body is storing. So if you don't eat for a little while and your body has a chance to go through autophagy and clean up all the poisons and toxins and get rid of bad cells and stuff, gee, maybe that's a good thing for us and not such a bad thing. Maybe not eating for a few days would be a blessing for the average person in America walking around and not a curse. See how when the Father says, oh, my thoughts are not your thoughts, my ways are not your ways, we don't yep. think the way he does. Maybe right. the collapse of Babylon would be painful for the average guy and gal. It's the best thing for us. All this needs to go away.
Yeah. Amen to that. And I think when he said to come out of her so we do not suffer with her, it reminds me of our discussions about teenagers, okay? And having six children, I've seen this in my own family and relatives. Yahweh does a thing with teenagers that helps us do what he expects us to do. And basically, teenagers become teenagers, which means you can't wait till they get out of the house. They get argumentative, they know more than you do, etc. So they adopt a behavior that becomes repugnant to the parents. Not all of them, but a large percentage, at least in my sphere, I've seen it. And it's not that you're repugnant forever, but during that period of time, you can't wait for them to get out of the house. Well, think about it. If they remain these idyllic little children that just crawled up on your lap and looked at you with puppy dog eyes and didn't give you a hard way to go on everything, you'd probably never get rid of them. You'd probably never shoo them out of the house. So they become teenagers, and you can't wait till they get out of the house. And then after they calm down and grow up and mature, then you can go back to being in a relationship. And that same thing is what I see happening today in society. This Babylonian society is becoming so repugnant that true believers can't stand it. I take phone calls every single day from disgruntled Israelites that want out. Just where do we go? Where do we go to get away from all this? I want out. And my belief is that when the number of people of Jacob Israel reach that point, that Father will open a door and allow us to completely withdraw from this sadistic society and live the way we're supposed to live under Him, because this society is going to implode on itself here very soon. You can't become this criminal and this insane without it falling apart. And if the good, righteous men and women of our race, and other races too that have good people in it, if they withdraw from Babylon, it will implode even faster. It's going to implode one way or the other, because you can't make up for it. You know, I talked about the electrical power plants in South Africa. They're falling apart because the blacks can't maintain them. They turned it over for black engineers and black managers at the plant. They can't do it. And so now these brand new facilities, some of them 1,400 megawatts per unit. Those are huge plants. I'm going to tell you, that's a huge plant. And they're falling apart. They're falling apart. You can't keep them up. I know that in some of these stateside plants. I have friends of mine that are still working in them, close to retirement, and they're all telling me the same thing. Talent is getting scarce. The young people coming in with college degrees really can't do much. The contractors they're hiring, which are predominantly younger people, are coming in. They don't have many skills either. So if the talent... Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, yeah, but I mean, you can't teach what you don't know. And
exactly.
Who's teaching in academia now? The men who could do these things and then go into academia when they retired and pass that information along, that know-how, onto the next generation, they're being told you're evil. Well, who the heck's going to... I mean, if you're being told you're evil and you're scum and you're the reason the earth is so terrible, why would you want to, in your retirement, go and take that kind of abuse from a bunch of Jews and hags and non-whites in the academic setting? That used to be what a retiring executive or scientist used to do after he did productive work. He'd go along and he'd pass it around.
Right.
What he learned throughout his career. Now it's, I go into academia so I can be a perpetual student.
Yeah. Well, it's, and again, I think Father put me on a certain path way back from the beginning so I could learn these things. But I saw that when I went into the power industry as an apprentice. A lot of people don't know what apprenticeships are all about, but they follow a thousands of year old principle that you learn from a master. Okay, in the power industry, it's called a journeyman. A journeyman is somebody that's been through the training, been out in the field. They've become senior techs, and when you become an apprentice, you're assigned to work with them. So you learn from the journeyman. You don't learn it all from a textbook. You do have some basic electronics that you have to learn and things like that, but the actual work in the field, you learn it hands-on with the journeyman, the guy that knows what's going on. We bought this whole BS thing that you needed in a classroom because that's where the Jews dominate, where it's nice and clean and air-conditioned, and because they don't want to work out in a power plant where it's 110 degrees and live steam that could cut you in half, could possibly come from a steam leak. They don't want that, so they're not going to go into those kind of fields. They want you to come to them in a nice air-conditioned auditorium. Well, they'll spew their garbage out as if they know what they're talking about. No, they don't. But they'll convince you, because you're sitting in the auditorium, that that's where real knowledge is. No, real knowledge is out there in the real world, where you can get cut and bleed and, in some cases, possibly even die if you make a mistake. That's where I worked. You make a false move and you could die. Quickly, very quickly. Electrocution, radiation, chlorine gas, you name it, we had it all. And if you weren't on your game, you can end up dead within a matter of seconds or maybe minutes. So, you know, it's a life and death thing. So there's no room for this diversity and affirmative action bullcrap, because your life is on the line. Just like in the military, military should never have adopted affirmative action and diversity. You're talking about life is on the line here, and that's why it's not working. That's why the power plants are falling into disrepair, and it won't be too much longer than we'll be right there with South Africa, and you're going to find brownouts at first, and then there'll be complete blackouts, because the people that know how to fix these things are disenfranchised. Okay, they don't want white men, toxic masculinity around. Well, I got news for you. It's toxic masculinity that kept the B-52 bombers fixed and in the air. It was toxic masculinity that kept the steam going to the turbine so you have electricity in your house. It wasn't feminism. It wasn't multiculturalism. It was white male toxic masculinity.
Who's building and maintaining all the septic systems and all the sewage systems and all the sewage treatment plants? You don't see any women fighting for those jobs, do you?
No, of course
but,
not.
But a strong argument could be made that between that and the power systems and all of these sanitation systems, that's what Western civilization is really built on. You don't see anybody fighting to get into those jobs. How many women you see fighting to be a lineman for the power company, Dan?
Oh, very few. I don't even know if there are any, to be honest with you. And we had I saw this in action in Michigan before I left there. So this was over 10 years ago. They started hiring based on gender and skin color. So we got in three individuals that were completely out of water in a power plant in learning electronics, okay? They hired a female with a biology degree that's only, her only work experience was in a veterinary office. They hired a black female whose only experience was selling electrical parts at a retail shop, so she was a sales clerk. And then a black guy whose experience, I don't even know what he did before, but his ability to pick up and learn the trade was very diminished. He struggled from day one. But here again, they were the right skin color and the right gender, and so they hired him, and the shop had to get the same amount of work done now with three less able-bodied men. They had to get the same work done. So that puts a load on the remaining white guys, and it showed. A lot of guys ended up quitting or going to other departments or whatever because they said, well, wait a minute. You know, these people over here are sitting in the air-conditioned shop most of the time because the boss knows he can't trust them out in the plant, so he gives them paperwork to do to keep them in the shop, in the air-conditioned shop. So, you know, that creates negativity and bad feelings. So it just goes on and on from there. It doesn't work. That's what, you know, I keep trying to tell people. I've witnessed it. I've seen it. I know what works and what doesn't work. Maybe not in every single thing, but in a lot of things because of both of my work experience and my traveling as a contractor all over America. And the fact that I also have many, many friends and have done so many interviews and have also studied scripture. But between all of that, there's a lot of answers. Now, Jimmy put in here some stuff about a slide rule, and I got a cute little story to tell that's about that. Back in the 1990s, I was working at the startup of a nuclear plant in Georgia, and I walked into the field building where the technicians were. So this is a big old, like three or four trailers all put together, opened up for a big open area, and all the technicians were in there. So I walked in with what's called a post-VersaLog, which is a bamboo slide rule with a porcelain coating on it. And in my dad's day, you were considered a top-shelf engineer if you had a post-VersaLog in a leather container on your hip. That meant you knew your stuff, because this was one of the best. So when I was in school, my dad gave me his post-versalog slide rule, and I learned to use it. And so I went into this big building in the late 80s, early 90s, and I walked into this room full of technicians now. These are all nuclear-grade electronics guys, and I held up the slide rule. I said, how many guys in here know what this is? Three hands out of 60 or so people. Only three hands went up. And then I said, now, how many of you that know what it is, can you come up here and do something with it? And they just sat back down. So only three people even could recognize it, and nobody in that room knew how to operate a slide rule. And a lot of people will say, well, what's the point, Dan? We got electronic calculators now. We got computers. We got programs that do your thinking and math for you. And I like to point out that the vast majority of America that's still here, buildings, railroads, bridges, et cetera, were built by engineers using slide rules. All right? And you'd be surprised how fast you can do calculations and get a good, accurate answer with a slide rule. Okay, maybe not to the 13th decimal point like a computer would do, but a lot of things you don't need it that tight. You just need an answer, okay, roughly in the ballpark.
Dan, what kind of job did the ancient Romans do building those aqueducts that are still 2,000 years later providing clean, fresh water to the citizens of Rome?
Exactly. They didn't even have slide rules. I don't know what they used, but they didn't use slide rules. But they were able. You're right. They were able to put structures together that are still working and standing today. They built roads that are still being used today. Okay, we can't get a asphalt top road to last more than 5 or 6 years, and they got to be back out there resurfacing it. They were able to build roads across Europe that are still in use to this day. It's amazing. But that's what we're capable of. If you get the adversary out of the way, we can fix everything. That's the good news. Everything that's broke can be fixed. It can be fixed easily, and it can be fixed quickly, but you have to get the adversary out of the way.
So, Dan, I talked to my own kids, one of whom is not speaking to me right now because of this discussion. I say to them, have you been, because this person flies all over the world, have you been to Detroit? Have you been to Cleveland? Have you been to Camden, New Jersey, which used to be a manufacturing hub in America? Well, how did that happen? Oh, well, the bad people pulled all their money out and left. No. Nobody was asking anyone who currently lives there to do anything but have to maintain what was already built for them. So nobody asked the current residents of Detroit or Cleveland or New York City or Los Angeles or Philadelphia or Camden to build anything from scratch. Just don't destroy and maintain what you've already got, what was handed to you. Okay?
Right.
And they can't do it. They can't do it. As my dad used to say, brooms and soap don't cost a lot. And not spraying graffiti all over your own house doesn't cost anything. As a matter of fact, you save money on the spray paint, he used to say.
Mm-hmm.
People that are handed something that they had no hand in designing, envisioning, building, creating, can't maintain it. They don't respect it. They don't honor it. They don't love it. It never ceases to amaze me how people burn down their own neighborhood over something like my sports team didn't win. But then when you look at where they're from, genetics is a powerful thing, Daniel. Look at where these people are from. Look at the height of what their peoples have been able to achieve. You say this to any person with any liberal leaning, they can't deny it. They have to admit that it's true. Everybody's not the same. Everybody's not the same. And the reason I bring this up is this has happened before. This has happened before. Look at what is happening in England. What if you would have told people just 100 years ago that pretty soon whites will be a minority in the city of London, which many deem the capital of the world?
Mm-hmm.
People would have laughed at you.
Oh, yeah.
They would have laughed at you. They would have laughed at you. But what happened in the nation of India? What is the composition of the blood, the people, the bodies of the people who live in India today? They're not a pure line. They're a miscegenized group of people who were the brown people in the south mixed with the whites from the north. This is one of the most ancient cultures on the planet. Was destroyed due to liberalism and miscegenation.
Mm-hmm.
Adulterating the blood. One of Gandhi's contemporaries wrote a book and he was vilified for it. This man said all of these ancient Vedic texts, the Sanskrit language, all of these megalithic structures were not built by our people, he said, meaning brown Indian people. These things were all created by whites.
Mm-hmm.
In some of their most ancient Vedic texts, they talk about the blonde-haired, rosy-cheeked, blue-eyed people.
Yeah.
Folks, look at the condition of the streets in India today. Am I saying they're evil people or they're bad people or I want them to die? No, I'm not saying that. Look at the conditions of the streets in India today. These people can't feed themselves. They can't clothe themselves. They can't control their own urges to the point where their population has exploded and they worship demons. There are cows wandering down the streets, defecating in their water while their kids starve and they worship an animal.
Mm-hmm.
They have a temple where they worship rats and feed rats that bite their children in the middle of the night and give them horrible diseases and kill them. And you're going to tell me that everybody's the same? This is, your people have gone through this. White men, specifically, I'm speaking to you. Your people have gone through this before, where your ancestors build something up, they create something amazing, and then because of our natural tendency to want to help others and share and cooperate, we're convinced that we're evil because we're successful and we give it all away to people who could never in a million years. And that's not hyperbole. Look at the continent of Africa. They've had more than a million years with more natural resources than any other place on the planet. And a few Dutch moms and dads and farmers and grandmas and grandpas and wagons and oxen show up in 1692 and build the jewel of the continent and get called evil for producing more clean water, more power, more paved roads, more universities, more food. And that tiny little 2% minority than the rest of the continent combined. But that's evil, Daniel.
Mm-hmm.
That's evil. When are we as white men, true Israelites, going to wake up Other peoples don't do these things because they can't. And our obligation, our commission here on earth was to be the tenders of the garden, not to destroy all other peoples on earth, but to be that shining city on the hill, the example. And that's what this country was at the beginning. But we let the Jew get their hands on it and turned it into something ugly and evil and horrible.
Mm-hmm. We have a lot to be ashamed for.
We do. We had the opportunity to build something here that was going to be literally the kingdom. It would have been the kingdom, and we threw it all away because we let the adversary's children twist everything. Everything.
Well, they really took off like a rocket in the deception of our people when electricity and electronics were invented, because that brought radio and following radio television into the home. And the Jew has been on top of those two forms of communication from the start. And so everything that they produced was with the intent of neuro-linguistic programming or predictive programming, whatever you want to call it, where they would denigrate the white Christian culture. And it didn't start out real strong. It was little nuances here and there. But over time, it was a way to destroy all of our founding principles and institutions and to elevate themselves. That's why anytime somebody talks about academia and intelligence, you always hear Albert Einstein. Why? Because he was a Jew. Was he really a pillar of the scientific community and a brilliant man? No, he was actually quite stupid. He was a clerk in a patent office. It doesn't take a genius to be a clerk in a patent office. Okay, so, but they turned him into that because they want the image to be this goofy-looking, absolutely ridiculous troll named Einstein represents intellect. Same thing with Sigmund Freud, another fake, phony intellectual. Okay, but he's a Jew, so Freud and psychology and psychiatry, same thing there. Time after time after time, they put Hollywood stars in your face as if they're to be looked up to. 95% to 100% of the time, they're kikes. Okay, so with the control of the media and the money, they were able to slowly overcome the teachings of the church and get into our brains and lead us away, and we literally became drunk, fornicating with the whore of Babylon. And the preachers, who should have been the avant-garde to warn the sheep that that's what they were doing, were bought off when seminaries came into existence. And the sheep are to be blamed because the sheep no longer wanted to hear from a non-degreed pastor. They wanted to hear from the guy with the degree. And so they wouldn't even hire somebody to be a pastor of their local church unless they had a seminary degree. Well, the Jews saw that as an opportunity to get in and infiltrate the learning centers called seminaries the same way they've infiltrated our college campuses. And pretty soon the seminary-trained puppets are coming out extolling the virtues of Jews and how Jesus was a Jew, which is a complete lie. All of it's a lie, but about the same time. So it's all been in relatively recent history, this great big facade that we live in, where we've been completely deceived and led down the yellow brick road to our own destruction. It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. There is an awakening going on, Mike. But we're at a critical point. I wanted to get your take on that. How do you feel about that? I spoke of that at the beginning of the program, that many of the people I listen to daily have been talking a lot about something big. And they're not saying good or bad. They're just saying we're on the verge of something that is huge coming down the pike for mankind worldwide. How do you perceive that? What's your gut telling you, and what your sources say?
I don't necessarily see it as, well, maybe it matters what your definition of big is.
Okay.
If from big you mean that it's going to come from so-called leaders around the world, I don't think so. I think in terms of the mass of people who are a lot smarter than what the average elitist believes, people can see. People can see. They remember the stories that their parents told them. They remember what the world was like just a couple generations ago. People remember. Like, guys at work talk all the time about how, yeah, I can't get my son, who's got the greatest genetics in the world, to even, you know, throw a baseball around the backyard with me. All he wants to do is sit in the house. I mean, people know. They sense something is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
This natural human instinct to sense that there is danger. It's gotten to the point where the average person on the street realizes that something's wrong, but they just don't know what to do about it, because again, we're trapped, or they believe that we're trapped with this money system, and then if you don't work, you won't live. I think if things get bad in terms of the whole facade of the modern economy, I think people will see that we don't need all of this fluff. If, let's say, for example, there was a depression in the country, people would not listen to the government. They would not do what they're told. When I think you told me this story, Dan, where when the Russian people had just had enough of their Jew handlers, when you know, the secret police would show up. No, the Russian people were disarmed. They didn't have guns to defend themselves and their neighbors. Old women and men would come running out of their little hovels of an apartment with meat cleavers and sickles and hack these people because they were just so tired of being under the thumb of these Jew handlers. They had woken up. And I think that's what we're going to see, Dan. We're going to see a grassroots awakening, something like this yellow vest movement, where the average person just says, why the heck am I working? And when I say the average person, the average white guy, I'm not sending my kid to that school anymore, because all they get is beat up by the minorities, and the leadership or the administration does nothing. I'm not patronizing these restaurants or these big cities anymore, because all they do is cost me an arm and a leg, and you know, I get a ticket on my car, or my daughter got raped, or we got robbed. It's getting to the point where smart, decent white people are just withdrawing. And as you mentioned, next Saturday, if everybody just withdrew their consent from this civilization by not spending their money for one day, I think that would send shockwaves through this society. I think people, good white Christian people, are tired of it. They don't know how it all happened, but your program goes a long way to showing them what happened. But people are just withdrawing consent. I mean, these blockbuster movies, for example, the numbers are deceiving. It's the same people. It's not en masse the whole world is going to see them. It's the same brainwashed people over and over and over again that are spending inflated Federal Reserve notes to go see them. It's an example of how people are withdrawing their consent. People are voting with their dollars. How much more organic food and grass-fed beef and small local farm markets are cropping up all over the place?
Oh, yeah.
Because people have had it. They're withdrawing their consent en masse. That's why they're trying to get rid of the cashless society. I mean, that's why they're trying to create a cashless society, so that these different types of farm markets and free association don't take place. They're trying to outlaw garage sales. Oh, no, they are. They are. And they're trying to outlaw garage sales because they say, number one, it's avoiding paying tax on something that you buy and sell. And also, well, what if these products that are being resold, like toys and things, have been recalled? Then we can't protect you. Daniel, they're such control freaks. It's unbelievable. They're such control freaks, and they push their hand too hard and too fast, and the average guy and gal are just saying, you know, F them. I'm tired of it. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, I think Reagan is the one that said it, or was it Kennedy, that if you restrict peaceful revolution, then you're basically opening the door for violent revolution. And then
right.
these people are so corrupt that they don't see the revolution has already started. It just hasn't gone hot yet. But we're very close to it. Myself,
yep.
On this coming Saturday, I will be wearing all black. In fact, it may be all black BDUs, which is a battle dress uniform. I've got a set of black BDUs, and I think I'll be wearing those Saturday, and I may even put my yellow vest on. So I'll have a double whammy that day. It'll be black boots, black BDUs, and a yellow vest. So I'll have everything covered, and I sure as hell won't be found in a store that day. Only if it's a life-threatening emergency, but I doubt that seriously. So that's my personal take for the day of mourning, and obviously there'll be prayer with that, as every day, that our people will repent and come back to the Father, and that our people will say, I've had enough. It just takes the good people saying, I'm not going to support this idiocy anymore. We the people still have the inherent power. It's just a matter we have to be convicted, and then we have to be organized. We have to come together, and the people have to choose their leaders. It's just like Moses when he let our ancestors out of Egypt. It's no different today. There were sub-commanders, but the guy at the top was Moses. And the people agreed that he would lead them out of their bondage. And it's not going to be any different this time. If Messiah comes, it'll be him. If Messiah hasn't showed up yet, it'll be whoever is anointed to do the job. The people just have to recognize the anointing. And I like to remind people, and Mike, you can tell me if you agree or not, but, you know, everybody talks about the second coming, and they have this Hollywood version in their head. And I don't know about you, Mike, but I've learned through my lifetime that many times when I create a scenario in my head of something that's a future event, it never works out that way. It's like almost never. It's the
Agreed.
Same thing when you used to talk to a female on the phone back in the old days when the only way you could communicate was by phone. And this would be a blind hookup, let's say. You were talking to a female that was a friend of a friend, and you thought, wow, you sound really hot. Then you go for the meet, and you find out that the voice doesn't match the hardware at all. Okay? It's the same idea. Okay? So we've got this whole army of believers who think they know what the second coming is all about. All right? My question to the believers is, what if it's not the way your mental picture is? Because he says the anointed. That's what Christ means. It's not a name. There's no person's going to show up on the scene that's called Christ. That's a term. That's just like king or lieutenant or general. It's a position, anointed. And Yahshua is Yahweh saved. So the anointed that will represent Yahweh saving his people could also represent a coming of the Messiah, the Savior. Because just, I'm going to tell you folks, your mental image of what you perceive the second coming to be, I'll guarantee you it's not even close. I'll guarantee it. You have to recognize the anointing.
It's so funny that you say that. What does the average American think is going to happen? That some guy, some skinny, emaciated guy with long, lanky, greasy hair and a sad, you know, wimpy demeanor is just going to show up and give everybody free pizza and cable TV? Is that what they think the second coming is going to be? It's going to be a war.
Right.
It's going to be a war.
Yep.
There are actual enemies of the king who want to usurp his authority and destroy his kingdom.
Yep.
This is going to be a war when he returns. This is, I mean, it's so interesting, the image that the average pew sitter has of what they think our God is, that Yeshua said, I could call down legions of angels if I wanted to right now. Not chubby little cherubic-looking kids with wings on their back, mighty fighting messengers. I mean, legions of angels would engulf this entire planet in flames in an instant. So people who think that this is all just going to be, oh, well, America's just going to be back to being the multicultural paradise that it was, and Jesus, as they call him, is just going to come and set everybody free. No. No, it's not going to be all rainbows and unicorns and roses.
Yeah, what about the verse that says, my kingdom will come in by violence and by the hand of my people? They think that that's a lie? Okay?
That's right.
Okay, the point is, there's violence already. That's what kills me. People go, well, that sounds like it's violent, Dan. Well, guess what? How many babies have been ripped out of their mother's womb? Okay, how many people died in these wars for Jews that are only for profit? So violence is already going on. The problem is that the innocent are the ones doing the dying. And when Messiah comes, it's going to be the ones that deserve it that are going to do the dying. And it's about time. So anyway, Jimmy's got something he wanted to add here too, so let's let him come in here. Jimmy, welcome to the program.
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen, or good morning to those that are not in the Eastern time zone. And Dan and Mike, thanks a lot for all you guys do. I just, you know, I keep show notes, and I go through legal pads around here probably once a week. But I want to touch on two points. The minor point is I had a dream last night, and it was very vivid in that I was getting into a car with some of my trusted folks, to include my business partner. And the one thing that I remember very vividly is, it's going down. I'm not kidding you now.
Wow. All right.
And to the second point, yeah, now, again, I don't know where this stuff comes from. Well, actually, I do. It's subconscious and yada, yada, yada. And that's all I have to say about that. I woke up very, moved by that remembrance. And more so, I wanted to touch on, you know, we do have a lot to be ashamed about as a society, and these are conversations that I've had with others on my shows and even with my staff, because they get it. But I also want to say we have a lot to be proud of. And even my business partner, which is senior partner in our law firm, he said, Jim, he said, this is all our fault. And while I agree, I'm going to go back to what you said. And on two things. One is, when I first bought this place back in 2005, all the neighbors got together on Saturday. I've said this a million times on your show. And they either come here and help me with something, or I go down to their house and help them patch a roof or take a tree down or you know, prune a tree away from the house. And the girls at the time were here fixing tater salad and beans and this, that, and the other. And the men would get done with their work in the neighborhood and go shower. And we'd all come here and throw some steaks on the grill and sit out at my back table and have some fellowship, knock down a couple beers, and enjoy a meal. But back to my point, how is it our fault when we, myself, grew up in normalcy bias and perceived trust to where law enforcement was the solution? And I have a classic example. Last Saturday, a week ago yesterday, we've got a new neighbor, and these lots are big. So, you know, I have to really yell across the way to even talk to a neighbor unless I go visit them. And this guy had his music going at 3 o'clock in the morning to where the bass was just almost rattling my windows. And I called the sheriff's office, and it's not the first time, and I said, look, I know you people have better things to do with your time, but if I can't get some relief here, I'm going to have no choice but to handle this myself. Now get this. Here's the rub. Well, are you threatening your neighbor with that comment? I'm not shitting you.
Mm-hmm.
I am not shitting you. And the thing is, I've called him before, and I don't like to, you know, but 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, we have rules. You know, after 11 p.m., the decibel level has to go down on the bullshit statutes, but what about respect
for
your neighbors? And I'm kind of fast-tracking here. But, yeah, instead of them saying, all right, Mr. Aiken, we'll you know, have a deputy come out and take care of it, and no problem, that's what we're here for. No. All of a sudden it shifted to I was making a threat, and all I said is, I'll go down there and take care of it. That's all I said. I didn't go down there, I'm going to go down there and knock some heads or cap somebody. I said, I'll go down there and take care of it, quote.
Mm-hmm.
You see my point there? They twisted it around to where now I'm the suspect in the violation. Anyway, but back to my main point, and thanks for taking my call. We have sat here, Dan. I've sat here for 10 plus years doing radio. You've got me, you know, beat in 20 years. I'm glad we got together. But at the end of the exercise, I personally have lived by perceived trust and normalcy bias, and whether we let this happen or not, and we all sit here and discuss these things, I listen to Mike and you with great intent, but at the end of the day, if my car has a flat tire, me holding radio shows and bitching about it, and I mean this with respect now because I love these calls, don't get me wrong, but the solution is for me to get off my ass, go get the donut out of the trunk, jack the car up, change the tire, throw the dead tire in the trunk, and take it out down the tire shop and either have it fixed or replaced. This is that simple, except it has gone this far down the road. In my example about my loud neighbor, as soon as we stand up, gentlemen, we're combative, we're threatening, we're racists.
Oh yeah,
I'm sick of it.
Yeah, everything's against the white male. I've got another caller, and let me see what he wants to add to it. So hold on there. All right, Gary from California, welcome to the program.
Good morning. except for Jim, I say good morning. Everybody else, it's afternoon. But here in San Diego, it's still morning time, just right. after 10. I was listening to Jim talk about when he called the police. You got to remember, you're irritating this guy when he's trying to drink a cup of coffee. You know, he didn't come there to work. He came there to relax. And we don't want him to have to hurt himself. And this is what it's all about. I mean, I've seen this before. They've learned how to twist things. But the reason I really called was, Jim got me going on that, but is we have two Congress people that are women, and they're, of course, not of our race. And one of them is of course, a Muslim, made some comments in what they call anti-Semite. They're not Semites. We're Semites, Shem. But they call it anti-Semitic. And then the other one, of course, is a socialist. So I was just wondering, Dan, what you might have to say on that, and some of the guests and Jimmy and what have you. This is terrible. I mean, why this don't even belong in our Congress? These guys, especially the socialist, is in violation of her oath. She took an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States, which she supports is destruction of our Constitution. So,
right. Well, these people take that oath because the Jews, first of all, get out of the oath because of the Kol Nidre that they pray, which is part of their religion. So they consider themselves exempted from any oath to obey it. The others don't want to obey it because it's not of their culture, okay? We're violating God's law that says that you will only have people rule over you who are of your own kind and your own faith, okay? So that means that they operate for the betterment of our race and they operate according to the rules of the scriptures. Anybody outside of that has no right to be in a position of authority over Israelites, period. So the Israelites have to come out of their idol worship and realize that we've become idolaters and return to the living God and his Christ, period. Okay, that's the answer to every problem we're talking about today, and including what Jimmy's talking about. Well, what do? Well, we can't do anything. We're stuck in mud because we haven't figured out the first step. The first step is repentance. And the white men and women realize that who we are, where we came from, and what our duty is upon this earth. Until we realize that, there's not going to be any movement of any significance. The remnant is still here. Yahweh said he's going to watch out over them personally. And my belief is that the true remnant have angels watching over them. I really believe that.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only way we can survive in this sick, demented world. Is he literally has to be watching out for us because there's just so much criminality around us, it's unbelievable. So our people have to realize that the answer is in our faith, which would include our obedience to his law. Everything in Scripture says that.
Okay? This is why all the founders said that this Constitution isn't for everybody. It's for our people. They said that this form of government would only work for our people because there would never be enough force of government. There would never be enough punishment power and enforcement power to make people live this way. You have to want to willingly live this way.
Right.
You see, that's why this idea that we could just let anybody, any bipedal creature into this country and that, well, let's just teach them the way. No, they won't live by the way. Then you're going to give them a chance to vote to overthrow the way. See,
right.
This is why this form of government will only work with our people.
Well, just like in Chicago, Detroit, you know, look at those places are dumps, but those were one time great cities, and then they turned it over to, I think Pastor Dan was talking about, like what we did with South Africa, and gave it to those people, and look what they've done. They turned it into a dump. And when I was a kid, that was a long time ago, back in the 50s, you know, people would leave our bicycles out in the front yard, You know, people leave the keys in their car. And then, of course, I learned to be a thief through, I ran around with some Mexicans and because they lived in the area, but they'd come. And they teach you how to steal. They really did.
Yeah.
And then there was another guy that was, they call them Italians, they're really Sicilians, and their dads were fishermen. And we, some of those were mixed in with amongst us, and they would do the same thing. They teach us how to steal. And but if you just had just white kids together, they wouldn't do that. You know, and
right.
Then, of course, a lot of it was the Navy, and the dad's out to sea for 6 months and he comes back home. And while he's gone, then the mom's trying to do it. And a lot of moms, of course, become what they call them, Westpac widows. And when dad's gone, mom's playing and all kinds of crap. And this is interference by, guess who? Those people with the long noses. And they're not all Pinocchio, but they act like it. And this goes right to what was just now being talked about. You let the white people alone, let them rule themselves. You guys stay out. You don't have any problems. All of these things will work. But once you interject those brown and black people, you're going to have problems, as noted by those two women in Congress. Those things aren't honest. Those don't belong in Congress. And I've said that. Says in the Constitution, it says to our prodigy. That means to their children. Well, you're a racist. You're right. I am. I recognize my race and that's another race and that's another race. You know, what they're trying to do is make us all the same and all equal. And I just was listening to something this morning on, I think it was Pastor Dan, how they say, what's the word for we're all equal and equality? No, we're not. They use that. That's false. We're not all equal. There's a word that they're using for it now. But it's terrible what's going on in this country. Awful.
Yeah.
This country was built on a great document, and it would have worked if the enemy is here. This is just a little thing. It says one third of them were put here on Earth. So that's who we're battling until our Savior comes and saves us from these clowns. Because they'll always offer somebody something, and they'll say, oh, you know, money, lucre. And the next thing you know, they're off and running with the enemy. You know, it's really sad. And until our Savior comes, there's no relief. So I know, unless somebody, one of you guys can say something, you know, and
well, we don't need to sit around and wait for Father to come back and do our dirty work for us, okay? We have the means to fix this problem. We just have to recognize that it's us that have to fix the problem. And everything that's going on today is out to diminish us and to disenfranchise us because we are the solution, okay? As long as they can get the white man to sit back in his comfortable chair or in the pews of his church and not actively get involved in fixing the problem, they've got it made because nobody else is going to fix it. So that's what they've been doing, and unfortunately, we bought into the lie, and we find ourselves mesmerized and paralyzed mentally, like Pavlov's dogs, that we're not getting action. So we have to repent. We have to be full of the Holy Spirit, and when you're that way, you can't help but be a warrior. Okay, so we have to get our people energized.
Going back to Jimmy's story, I can remember one time, probably about 16 years ago or so. You know, Elk and I were trying to sleep. We're in the room. It's about midnight or so, 12:30, and the people next door, we put up for a while. They had a party going on in their backyard, which is right next to our bedroom window, making noise, you know, music noise. So finally I said, this is enough of this. So I got up and I went outside and I stood up on a box that they had, it's a fence in their yard. And I asked the owner, I said, you know, can you guys quiet this down? And he says, we're not being loud. And I said, well, why am I standing here then? I mean, I walked all the way around outside and looked over their fence. And when Jimmy was telling that story, that's what that reminded me of. You know, if you guys are making a lot of noise, my bedroom's over there, and I'm out here looking at you guys.
Oh, yeah.
They're turning you into the bad guy.
Right. Well, that was the same thing that happened with the Latino in my community a couple weeks ago that threatened me physical violence because I was admonishing his son to stop throwing crap against the side of the house and congregate in front of the house and being disrespectful, whatever, because the father obviously wasn't doing it, and he was also a hazard on the road. But the father's first attempt was to turn me into the villain. Not a single word was said to his son or acknowledging that his son was out of line. It was trying to make me to be the villain. So that's the way these people operate. And by the way, since Jimmy brought it up, and I think Michael did too, about visions and dreams, I wanted to read a real quick verse. This is out of the book of Acts on chapter 2, verse 17. It will be in the last days, says Yahweh, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams.
We're old.
Well, yeah, we're old. We're elders, so we're in that category whether we like it or not. But it also comes with great responsibility and also great rewards when you're in that top category, because you're in a position for the young men to look to you for leadership and understanding. And I've actually had young military guys tell me that very thing. And this was a long time ago, that we older men, and I was only in my 40s, and he's calling me an old man back then, so he must be calling me ancient now. But he said, we don't need you old timers in the field. He goes, with the rest of us trigger pullers, that's what he referred to himself as a trigger puller. He said, we've got plenty of trigger pullers. Sergeant Stephen Berry of the Special Forces Underground told me the same thing.
Well, you need
when
somebody.
This all goes down, we have plenty of trigger pullers. What we need is leadership, and that's what the elect is here for, to be the leaders.
That's right. You know what, Pastor Dan, I sit down and go, I know we need to do this, but the Lord is all of a sudden, he'll bring it together because he'll pick the leaders. Like, you started to do some things there, and other people will pop up other places because, I know I'm too old. I'm 77 years old. I can't be out there running around in fields. I have a hard time running down my driveway, let alone anything else. So it's going to have to be somebody that has the intellect to share it with what you call the trigger pullers, to do something, and that's what it's going to have to be. Now, when our time comes here, the enemy is going to, he's jumping around already. He's going to jump around more, and he's going to be very dangerous. He's dangerous at this time, but he's
right.
Going to increase dangers. They're
right.
Dangerous people. And people
Satan,
don't...
Satan and Satan's kids, their wrath is great. That's what the prophecy said. Their wrath is great because they know their time is short. Their time's running out. Whether you and I get to live to see this or not is not of importance. What is of importance is the fact that it was told through the prophets this day would come. Babylon is going to crumble and fall with an economic collapse. You can count on it. The merchants and the people in government are the ones doing the weeping and wailing as Babylon burns. What's that tell you? Doesn't mean you and I are, as Michael said. We're actually being done a favor. Father is almost pushing us out away from Babylon because it is so disgusting and everything is poison. Everything Babylon offers you is poisonous. Well, that tells me that anybody that cares about their health and well-being is going to jump back in aversion to being offered poison.
Well, you
and
know,
the same
Pastor,
thing with all of our materialism, okay? Father's done that in my own life. I have almost nothing compared to what I had when I was younger, as far as material things. I have almost nothing. But I gotta admit, there's a freedom that comes with that. Living in an older, small, mobile home, driving a 14-year-old pickup truck with a dashboard that's crumbling apart. There's actually a kind of freedom in that. Okay? Because who wants it? I lock it up, but who in the hell's going to steal it? I mean, it's falling apart. You know, same thing with the house, okay? It's old and it's got termites. So, okay, you want it? Come and get it. So, but there's a certain freedom. You have the freedom to speak your mind. You have the freedom to resist because you don't have to worry about anything. Because that's what most of these people are worried about. Well, you know, I've got a house. I've got two cars. I've got a 401k. I've got children in college, you know, and I got to pay their way. Why don't you do what my dad did? You want to go to college? Pay for it.
Yeah, that's how okay? we used to do it when I was a kid. If you wanted to go to more school, you better work about two
exactly.
jobs.
Exactly. That's what he said. The same thing with a car. You want a car? Get a job. I'm not going to get you one.
I had a stepdad one time, and he says, Gary, you know, it's about time you have a car. Yeah. And I'm all excited, you know, and he says, see that old car out there that I used to drive and the engine's broke? He said, fix it. You can have it. That's how I got my first car. Had to rebuild the engine.
But you learned, didn't you? And mm-hmm. here's the other thing, Gary. I'll bet you took better care of that car than you would have the one that was just given to you.
Oh, I remember one time I was out, you know, on a date, and I heard a little knock in the engine. It was only a wrist pin, but man, I took that girl home and was working on my car because you know I was the one that built that engine. Why is it knocking like it's supposed to have brand new wrist pins in it?
You sound like my cousin in Mississippi. He used to rebuild engines, and when I went to visit him one time, he had a Chevelle SS396, which was a beautiful car. You want to talk about a screamer. And a big old V8 engine in the thing, and I'm sitting there talking to him, and I said, man, I said, you lifted the hood. It was all painted. Everything's painted, and you could eat off the engine. And I said, this is the engine you rebuilt? He said, yep, every bit of it. And I said, well, I was looking in your tool shed. I don't see a torque wrench anywhere. And I'm enough of a backyard mechanic to know that a lot of the critical components in an engine are supposed to be torqued to a proper value. And he goes, what do you mean a torque wrench? And I said, well, like the head bolts and the main bearings on your pistons and all that. I said, well, you torque them, right? He goes, no. When the book, Chilton's manual or the owner's manual or whatever he was using, the service manual, when it said 25 foot-pounds, it's kind of like, and when it says 150 foot-pounds, it's, So there's a good old white boy who took a complete Chevelle SS396 engine down to the bolts, put it all back together again, and never even had a torque wrench, and the thing ran like a scalded dog. So,
it's amazing. It's amazing what the white people can do and how they can build and how they have compassion. Now, the one thing I've noticed, I do the same thing, is we like a lot of property, you know, at least an acre. And because when we get things, we fill the property up with, you know, junk. But that's all that, like when he was doing his engine, he might have needed something, so he goes over to another car in his yard, gets it, and brings it back. And this is just the way we are. And, of course, then you got the Jew comes along with all of his money here. They live over by the beach area, up on the bluffs, and they got all the rich houses and what have you. I don't care. Everybody goes, well, don't you want to go see his house? It looks nice, but I wouldn't want to live there. Because now you got to pay.
Here's the problem. The Jew only lives the way he lives on the back of other people, particularly white people. Okay?
That's right.
The Jews don't create anything except mischief and mayhem. That's their forte. So they don't create in misery. Yeah, Michael's right, misery. So they don't actually own anything. That's why they have to do everything by deception, and that's why the brainwashing and the predictive programming is so important. That's why they're panicking with the alternative media. They have to control the narrative to make you think that it's your duty to support them. because on their own, they couldn't even feed themselves.
Well, I watched, sometimes I watch some of the old movie with Spencer Tracy and what have you, and they have these, they live in these big homes, you know, and they got waiters, they have all that, and you know, the guy that runs around gets your coat and everything. And I'm sitting there going, that's New York. New York puts forth this crap that used to be in the movies. And it happens out here too, the rich, but then you go find them, their names are always Goldberg or some kind of Schweinstein or something. So, you know, their names give them away what they are. They're Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they say, well, he has a business. Or they're attorneys. What's an attorney? He's a thief.
Mm-hmm.
And he's legalized to steal. And that's what you know, how can a man get so much money so quick unless he steals it? And
well,
he steals it legally.
When you're a thief.
On our
look
back.
Look up the etymology of the word attorney, and I believe you're going to find it comes from a Old English or Middle English, one who twists and turns. So attorneys take the law and the truth, and they twist and turn them to get whatever outcome they want. So, again, even their names, if you look into it, the Schweinhund, that's the way they work. So, you know. But anyway, guys, I love this, but we were already into 3 hours, believe it or not. And a lot of folks have things they got to do, and I try to not go too far on any particular broadcast because for that reason. Everybody's busy. I understand that. And so I'm going to cut this one short, and if anything pops, we'll have a special broadcast whenever we need it to bring everybody up to speed. So, but for today, I think I'm going to go ahead and shut her down. So I'll get final comments from you Gary, then Jimmy, and then Michael.
Well, I enjoyed what Jimmy had to say because that's the truth. You know, you call a policeman to do, you know, hey, I got a disturbance here. Next thing you know, they make you the disturbance, and you're often going to jail or paying a fine. You know, so I could sure identify with what Jimmy said. That happens a lot. I can remember when I was a kid, for instance, we were talking about that in something. You get pulled over because you've had too much to drink, and they did this to me. They say, you better get your butt home, straight home, and don't pass go, or you're going to go to jail. That's what they used to do. Now it's they stop everybody and give them a booze check. And they used to pull us over and say you were speeding or something. They wouldn't just write you a ticket. They'd tell you about it. They were peace officers. And
right.
They were now they're called police.
Hey, I saw a policeman in Michigan give a child on a bicycle a breathalyzer test. I saw that myself right outside a hardware store. I couldn't believe it.
I remember one time when I was living in this one place, this one guy started riding a bicycle because he always drank and he didn't want to get any at that time they were called 502s, DUIs. They pulled him over and gave him one anyway. He wouldn't ride his bicycle straight because he was drinking too much.
Unbelievable. Okay, well, anyway, thanks for calling in there, Gary. Yahweh bless. Keep up the good work and stay strong, all right, bud?
Yahweh bless, and thanks for Jimmy. I like this story today.
All right. Jimmy, final comments, bud.
All right, guys, and, you know, you're right, Dan. 3 hours went quick, but a real quick story. Right here in Hillsborough County, they actually took a man to jail for driving his lawn tractor on his land because he had an open beer in the cup holder, which I cut my grass. I've got a Yingling in my cup holder. I'm not
so
driving
what
it on
the charge.
Driving a motor vehicle under the influence of alcohol.
Oh my God.
And open container.
Oh,
and
my
you know, we hate attorneys, too. And, you know, I work in my real job in real estate law. We don't handle criminal, but that one came across our desk because it was a friend of the firm's. And I get it. Most attorneys are scumbags. But, you know what hit me real quick, and I'll be real brief here, And Henry, don't take offense to this, but you know, we have a Daniel, a Michael, which is my older brother's name, which passed away kind of young in life, and we have a James. Is there any significance to that? And I'll let you kind of ponder on that. But once again, God is bringing his people together. And I do have a guardian angel because I've been visited and told to shut up on my shows. And thank God it didn't result in an arrest or anything. But you know what? I stand ready. And it's just like the other night, like Henry was saying, I hung the phone up and I'm thinking, why do we even bother? I just need to maybe soundproof my bedroom and let the disrespectful get away with it. Isn't that right back to what we just talked about? It's my fault if I don't cure the problem. It's my fault if I don't go put a tire on my car, my flat tire, repair my flat tire, instead of running around bitching about it. Anyway, I really enjoy these calls, and I want to send a blessing out to Henry and Michael and Joel here in our chat room, and of course you, Dan. Thank you for all you do. And Dan, can I do a shameless plug?
Sure, go ahead, buddy.
I've been sitting on these two domains for about a year and a half, and it's seven. Seven is the number of completion, in my opinion. So I pay a lot of money because a .com is pretty affordable, but if you have a .tv domain, you know, it's a couple hundred bucks per year per domain. But the Lord whacked me over the head this morning and said, James, you will get these two going. So I set up a YouTube channel, and it takes 24 hours to get approved for live streaming. But the two domains are the number 7radio.tv and the word 7, SEVEN RADIO.tv. And Bank versus UTV is still up and running, but it is a little bit tainted because I've gotten strikes and this, that, and the other. Those two domains are virgin. They are pristine. And I meet tomorrow with One America News to do a satellite downstream. So I will have live content. Even Donald Trump has recognized them as a honest news stream, so I'm in negotiations with them. And then I want to have live call-ins like you do, and I will definitely be hosting and carrying your show with your permission. But those are my new channels, and if people would go, you need 100 subscribers on YouTube to open up certain features. But you have my word, Daniel. I am not monetizing this. There won't be any financial gain in this. But that's going to be our new forum. So 7radio.tv and 7radio on YouTube. And, again, I'm doing this to help the cause. Not going to make any money off of it. But, again, my dream last night caused me to sit in my chair this morning, sir, and have coffee, and I got the message. So once this morning I got a lot of it fired up, and this afternoon I'm going to be getting the sites up and running. You two will be up and running, and I'll email you. But our voices in closing, I guess right now, are the weapons we have. And like you stated, sir, if something happens, and Dan, I've said this to you and others, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning and the brown matter's hitting the rotating blades, call me. We'll go on air and we'll get the word out. And with that, God bless y'all. Michael, it's always good to hear you. Henry and others listening, Joel, God bless you. And I see we have one listener here you have from Holland. So, you know, God bless us all, Dan. Thank you so much for what you do, and thank you for giving me my voice.
Absolutely, Jimmy. You're always blessed, buddy. Take care. All right, Michael, final comments, buddy.
I'm really glad that you told me about this day of mourning next Saturday. I am looking forward to seeing how many of our fellow Americans, fellow Israelites, are going to take action. Like you said, wearing black and praying and You know, if you see somebody else wearing black in the supermarket, talk to them, tell them about your show, things like that. This is how movements get started. And for all the people who maybe push back, for example, if you're in that same supermarket and you wear black and you're talking to somebody about how, you know, these demons want to murder babies, if somebody speaks out against you, well, they're just outing themselves as someone who is complicit in this activity. I don't even talk to those people. I ignore them. If they want to, you know, continue down the highway to hell, so be it. I'm not going to waste a bit of energy on these people anymore. There's just too much information out there now, Dan, for people to be ignorant right now. So long story short, again, I will be praying next, you know, every day, but, you know, especially next Saturday. And I hope, I really do hope that this day of mourning wakes people up as to the plight that we're in and how analogous this is to the way that children were being sacrificed to that pagan god Moloch in ancient Israel. It is just, it's the same. I mean, keep me honest, Dan. It is the same activity. I don't care what the clothes are or what the date is on the calendar.
Right.
It's the same activity.
Yeah. It has a different window dressing, but the essence is exactly the same. I remember when I first opposed abortion, when the saline procedure was what they were using, and I had nurses telling me, because we got talking about sacrificing the Moloch even then, and they said, do you realize that when you inject a baby with saline solution, you're literally basically setting it on fire? Its internal organs and its body literally are consumed. The saline is the same as burning it. So, you know, how people cannot see through this is beyond me. So the day of mourning is a biggie. I'm going to be, like I said, I'm going to be in all black, and I'll probably have my yellow vest on as well. And I'll just see how many people approach me to ask me what it's all about. Hopefully, maybe I'll even make up a few small flyers that have the website dayofmourning.org, and that's all together with no spaces, dayofmourning.org. For people to find out what it's all about. But, you know, I don't know. It just amazes me. I never would have dreamed this country would sink this low and not have already risen up in rebellion. It's just, it just shows you the level of the programming and the propaganda and the cowardice of the white race. The fact that the white race has become so pathetic, so lazy, so immersed in materialism that they can't even see the life of an innocent child as what it is. They can somehow rationalize it away in the rhetoric of the nefarious Jew and not see through that line of bullshit that it's, you're talking about taking the life of a child here. Unbelievable. I mean, if that doesn't scream for the King of heaven and earth to pour his wrath out on this world, nothing does. If you read what happened to the Israelites when they practiced that, it wasn't long after that they suffered great defeat and enslavement. And that's where the white race is headed right now. If we don't pull our heads out of our rectums and start thinking straight about what's really important in this world and working together as a team, because that's what it's going to take, Jimmy, and you brought up a good point. You know, we've talked it to death, I agree. But you can't do anything until you get a team formed, okay? If I go out onto the football field, I got the football, and I declare myself quarterback, but I don't have any linemen in front of me, I'm going to get my ass kicked, okay? So you got to have a team, and the team hasn't formed yet. That's what we're waiting for. We've got quarterbacks, we've got footballs, and we have a football field called the Earth. But the team hasn't showed up yet, and that's what Father's waiting for. Where the hell's my, where's my players? Where's my warriors? Where's the Gideons among you? Where are the Phineases among you? Where are the Joshuas among you? And that's pretty much where we're at. Mike, anything else, buddy?
No, sir. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thanks a bunch for everybody that called in, Gary and Jimmy and yourself. Always a treat to have the best of the best when they come on and add to the program. So keep up the good word, Michael, the good work, and stay strong. I know it's tough. I know it's really tough, but you know, you're one of the cream of the crop guys, so you're a white stallion, and need you to hang in there, okay?
Thank you, Dan. You too.
Yahweh bless.
Yep.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Again, great conversation with our callers and a lot of pertinent points. But again, Father's waiting for the team. The game's here in town. The enemy's on the field, and they're virtually unopposed. Okay, so they're going to outscore us on every turn if the team doesn't show up. So the defense needs to be on the field. And then after that, after we stop the enemy, then we can go on the offensive. But right now, the defensive team hasn't showed up. So, day of mourning, next Saturday, all black, pray, and keep your money in your pocket. Keep your money in your pocket. Stay out of the damn stores. Don't support Jewish enterprises in any way, shape, or form. And God forbid if you've got medical care being given to you by one of them, you better be careful. I've lost loved ones that didn't understand that principle. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you the praise, glory, and honor, and thank you for this day. We thank you for this opportunity to share upon this medium and platform. We also pray a blessing upon Michael as he deals with the things in day in and day out and tries to maintain a standard that you would approve of. Same thing with Jimmy as he's working there to start two new channels and to get the word out and to awaken our people, bless his heart, and put a hedge of protection around him and give him good discernment. And as you said, young men would see visions and old men would dream dreams. And that's where we're at. Lee Stranahan talked about his being spoken to by the Father. The Spirit is being poured out. There is an awakening going on. The prophecies of Ezekiel in chapter 37 are in the midst of becoming a reality. It is going to happen, folks. It's which side of the fence you're going to be on. So give us good discernment, Father. Give us courage, stiff backbone, and give us foresight. Give us a love and compassion for the innocent, but a hatred for the enemies of yourself and for our people and for justice. This world is in serious need of justice. We pray for your coming to be soon, for you sit upon the throne that you are the only one qualified to sit upon. And to judge this world, there'll be no more arguing when you hold the scepter up in your hand, a scepter of iron to mete out judgment upon the wicked and to give out blessings upon those who live righteously. We ask and pray all these things in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah.